Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, as we like to call it around here, a Fri-yay. If you like the cooler weather, it's going to stick around for a few days. It will be dry. Great weather for harvest. Great weather for Big Iron, which starts next week. Looks like 68 for our high temp tonight. Cooling down overnight, only 44 for our overnight low. So if you like it that chilly, get your windows open and enjoy the cooler temps overnight. Tomorrow, sunny 73 and then up to 80 on Sunday. And it looks like all next week, we will see sunny, dry conditions with highs in the 80s. So for those of you who like it warm, the 80s are coming back. How was it last night, Jace? You guys had the football game. Did it get a little chilly as the night wore on? Or
it did. I was just wearing a polo shirt because it was obviously very nice out during the day. And as the sun dropped and the breeze was very nice in our new little booth there at Nemzik Stadium, I got a little bit chilly. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, if I would have had just a light jacket, maybe just even a vest, I think I would have been warm enough for, for that evening. But great football weather. I mean, I know that if I was a player out on that field, even a coach, I mean, it's going to be perfect weather. You're not too hot, not too cold, and you're going to be running around, especially if you're a football player out there.
And perfect day for tailgating tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We've also got Moorhead Spuds football. We've got Concordia football. So a lot of football to get through for the weekend. We'll find out how MSUM did with Jace coming up in just a little bit. We have mostly cloudy skies, 50 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the west at 5. The city of Fargo has seen an increase in its homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Offelt says the thought that homeless people are the cause for an increase in crime across the city isn't necessarily accurate. He says when you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else is. Some citizens have expressed not feeling safe in downtown Fargo. Offelt says that shouldn't be a feeling people should have. He says with population comes growth in all types of things, including crime in some cases. The city of West Fargo says it is not interested in purchasing Shea West Garden Center. Rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble up over the last several months, while the owner of Shea West Garden Center and the city have been in a stalemate on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. North Dakota Attorney General's office has released more than 6,000 emails that were at one time thought to be lost after a staff member of the late Attorney General Wayne Stengem asked North Dakota's Information Technology Department to delete his emails after Stengem died. We're currently examining those emails for content. An anonymous donor has given a $20 million gift to the Offutt School of Business at Concordia College. The money will be used to upgrade teaching facilities and help the college retain and build its faculty, as well as create a new position focused on instructional design and educational innovation. It's one of the largest donations Concordia College has ever received. Researchers from UND's Energy and Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involves injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosens up hard-to-reach oil. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period. Threat of anthrax in North Dakota livestock is prompting the state veterinarian to advise ranchers to vaccinate their herds against the disease. Anthrax is caused by a bacteria which can lie dormant in the ground for years before emerging under the right weather conditions. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is getting higher approval ratings than Ohio Senator J.D. Vance in a new national poll. The USA Today Suffolk University poll of 1,000 likely voters shows 48% had a favorable opinion of the Democratic vice presidential nominee. That compares to 36% of voters who had a favorable opinion of Vance, the Republican vice presidential pick. A survey also found 54% of voters found Walz to be more qualified to become president, with Vance receiving support from 42% of those polled. MnDOT is reminding Minnesotans about the rules regarding political signs near streets and highways. State law prohibits the placement of political signs along right-of-ways, including driving lanes, shoulders, ditches, and intersections. Displays of flags and other signs on bridges over traffic are also prohibited. Signs can't be placed on private property without the owner's consent. State law also prohibits placing advertising on utility poles, trees, and shrubs, as well as painting or drawing on rocks and other natural features. And the annual Medora Hot Air Balloon Rally gets underway tomorrow. Balloons will launch from the Medora campground tomorrow morning. They take to the skies amid the scenic backdrop of the Badlands. The event features refreshments and plenty of open spaces to relax and take in the view. Organizers say you should check the weather forecast before heading to the campground, though, as wind or rain could delay the launch. 5:05, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Thank you, Bonnie. Not the way the Dragons wanted to start the 2024 season. They got going last night at home against Wayne State College. They end up falling 44-17. Just a lot of little things kind of added up to one big thing, which was obviously a lopsided score last night. There was some bright spots here and there. Jack Strand did go a pass for 300 yards with two touchdowns, but he did throw two interceptions. One was returned for a touchdown. Gage Florence, he just does what he does. Seven receptions, a team high, 114 yards. Brady Perryman had four catches, 109 yards, along with a long touchdown out of those four. While Finn Ridgeway got significant playing time out of the backfield, he had four catches for 36 yards and a touchdown out of the backfield. Jack Bungarden paced the MSUM defense with nine tackles, followed by Josiah Baim, his eight tackles. Dragons hit the road next Saturday, September 14th, to take on preseason conference favorite Minnesota Duluth. Minnesota Twins got a win last night in Tampa as they beat 4-3 to wrap up that four-game series against the Rays. Pablo Lopez earned the win after tossing 6 2/3 with nine strikeouts, only giving up three runs. Griffin Jacks tossed an inning and a third in relief, while Johan Duran threw a scoreless ninth to earn the save. Eduardo Julian led the offense with a three-run homer, while Matt Wallner hit a solo shot as well. Twins remain on the road this weekend, and they visit an important matchup this weekend, Bonnie. They visit Kansas City. Weekend series begins tonight. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. Zebby Matthews gets the start for the Minnesota Twins. FM Redhawks, welcome to Sioux City Explorers, the Newman Outdoor Field, for Game 2 of the West Division opening round series tonight. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30, so it's a bit earlier than normal. Redhawks currently lead the best of three series, one game to none. If FM wins, they advance to the West Division Championship Series. If Sioux City wins, a decisive Game 3 will be played Saturday night at Newman Outdoor Field with first pitch scheduled for 6:30 p.m. Football tonight, over on our sister station, The Flag, James and I will be there for a rematch of the state championship game in the 11 AAA Division as the Shanley Deacons host the Minot Magicians. Game coverage set to kick off at 7 p.m. There'll be football right here on WDAY Radio as well. The Moorhead Spuds will take on Rogers. Kickoff is set for 7 p.m. here with Larry Knutson on the play-by-play call. I believe he's going to go a bit earlier than that to kind of set the stage. So probably about 6:45, 6:50, he'll get underway here on WDAY Radio. And then he'll be back on Saturday as the Concordia Cobbers take on Wisconsin-Eau Claire. The kickoff will be at 1 p.m. with Larry on the call. Game will be played at Shields Field at Nemzik Stadium on the campus of MSUM due to some finishing construction on Jake Christensen Stadium. So be aware of that if you're planning on attending. And then also on Saturday, if your Concordia Cobbers game is not what you want to do, NDSU Bison are returning home to the Fargo Dome to take on Eddie George, former NFL running back, and his Tennessee State Tigers. Kickoff is slated for 2:30 p.m. And then up north in Grand Forks, North Dakota is welcoming the fourth-ranked Montana Grizzlies to the Alaris Center for the Fighting Hawks home opener. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m., so maybe if you drive real fast, you can hit both NDSU and UND's games in one day. I don't know. Maybe just saying.
Do you think there's a lot of people that are fans of both teams?
No, they're either one or the other. And then the Minnesota Vikings kick off the 2024 season at New York to take on the Giants on Sunday. Kickoff is set for noon. Game coverage on Fox. And then nationally, Minnesota Lynx take to the road to battle Bonnie's favorite team, the Indiana Fever, at 6:30 p.m. Minnesota Lynx enter with a record of 24-9, while the Fever, once they got things figured out, they're 18-16, got a winning record, and I think they've maybe even locked up a playoff spot.
There you go. It looks like beautiful weather for those of you that like to tailgate. Looks great. Maybe you're sitting outside at a football game this weekend. Shouldn't have any issues. Might want to grab a jacket, though. It'll get chilly, as Jace mentioned, as the night wears on. Looks like today's high, 68 degrees, partly cloudy skies, north winds 10 to 15. It'll get chilly tonight as we drop down to about 44 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny, 73 for our high temp. Winds out of the west-southwest, 5 to 15, 50 the overnight low. Starting the warm-up trend on Sunday, we'll see sunshine with a high of 80. Southwest winds, 5 to 15. And it looks like sunny and dry for the most part all next week with high temps in the 80s. That is good for harvest. We don't need the rain right now. Also for big iron. That kicks off on Tuesday here, and all of our team, except for Jason and I, will be out there broadcasting live, but we may make an appearance.
All of our friends will be out there, not us, though.
Yeah, so if you're going to Big Iron next week, stop by. I believe most of us are broadcasting from the Brenco building, so stop by and say hi. It is 5:10. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, then a question of the morn and a song of the morn coming up. Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. As you heard, Jay's football season has ramped back up. That means our Pick 6 is back for the season. That starts at 8:10 every Friday morning with Big Game James McCarty, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Be listening at 8:10 for that. Fill out your picks. Winner wins a gift card. James told me what it was, but I'll let him surprise you guys a little bit later this morning on what you will win a gift card to. All right. Question of the morning. We want to know, what is your favorite comfort food or meal? Also, as the temperatures cool off, we get into that comfort food season. 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com, or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman. We've got Ty Schoenert in the WDAY Radio News Center. We'll be hearing from him coming up at 5:30. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki along about 6:05, and Big Game James McCarty in at 6:10 with your WDAY Radio Sports. At least I hope Dean's coming in today. Ronnie took the day off because they're going to Nebraska to watch the big football game. Yeah. So Dean must be, maybe he's sliding out after our show.
I was told yesterday that Dean's sliding out after the morning, so I would assume it's after our show and right at the beginning of Coffee Club, I would assume so.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty smart this morning because I...
Oh, good for you.
I detoured around that road resurfacing on I-94, which is taking place in the overnight hours.
I did not last night.
Yeah, but... Did you?
Because it was there.
Did you run into it, or were they working?
Oh yeah, because I was coming off. I was getting on the interstate at the 20th Street on ramp in Moorhead.
Well, at least you got in at 20th and not 34th or 336, because that's where it starts.
Well, as soon as I saw that, and I'm just like, oh. Plus the fact you had I had somebody in front of me that, so you're driving in a 30 mile per hour zone, and they're driving 25, and you're like, oh, come on, everybody goes 5 over, not 5 under. And then you're going on the on-ramp, and you see all of a sudden you look up, and you see the guy holding the stop sign on the on-ramp.
Oh, did you get stopped like I did the other yesterday?
Yeah, and so the dude looked like he was just, like, waving his little flashlighty thing, like, hey, dude, look, there's a stop sign. So once you did that and finally got around him, then it was fine. But it just took a minute to get through that. It was probably maybe 2 miles at most. Maybe it was only a mile from that point, 20th Street.
It goes up to about A Street, Red River Bridge, and they were working closer to A Street where I got on this morning, and I see the lights. I'm like, oh, I thought I missed them, which I did. They were right at that A Street. So if that affects you and you don't want to get stuck in there, it's occurring during the evening and overnight hours. It's I-94 between Highway 336 and the Red River Bridge. It's going to be both directions. It's a three-week project. Starts about 7 o'clock at night and goes until 6 in the morning. So if that impacts you like it did me yesterday morning, you might want to find a route around. But otherwise, pay attention. There's a lot of workers even standing out there on the highway doing their work with that resurfacing. But it's going to be nice when they're done because there's some pretty big potholes in the interstate. There's one eastbound especially that they need to work on, but they haven't started over there yet. And I hit it every day when I'm going home from work. It's just like, it's just in that perfect spot where it's like you don't want to cross the center line and, you know, you're not going to veer on the other side. So it just happens to hit my passenger side tire every time, or I happen to hit it one or the other. But yeah, so just pay attention for that. Again, it's a 3 week project and the interstate will be much nicer with the resurfacing. All right, question of the morning. We want to know, what is your favorite comfort food or meal? Our phone lines are open. 701-293-9000. You can email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I don't pick this as my comfort food, but I think I made a comfort meal last night.
And what was that?
Had a really good beef roast. So I made that with potatoes and carrots, right? Mm-hmm. That sticks to your ribs.
Absolutely. That is good stuff right there.
Yep. And got that from Sandhill Farms out at the farmer's market at West Acres. So if you want something like that, it was absolutely delicious. It was so fresh. Thank you, Deb. Stop on over there because, you know, that stuff is probably going to be tying up the farmer's markets within about a month here.
Oh, I'm sure.
We bought two of them, and I made the first one last night, and it was so good. And then I had, you know, new potatoes also bought from the farmer's market and carrots out of the garden. So even better than the stuff you have to buy at the store. But, yeah, that would be a comfort food type meal. Dennis always answers on our Facebook page whenever we ask food questions. He says Captain Crunch. But he said Captain Crunch, and he also likes ham and bean soup. I love soup.
I've been trying to think about this, and it's one of those things where, I mean, if it's a real comfort, obviously it's like a Thanksgiving dinner. At my folks' place. I mean, because obviously my grandparents have all passed away. So if I'm at my folks' house and she's working away in the kitchen and the turkey's done. They're making mashed potatoes. I mean, that's kind of been, in a sense, been sort of my, I guess, quote unquote, specialty in as far as our immediate family
eating
goes.
Eating it or what?
Making mashed potatoes.
Oh, I thought you just meant eating everything because are an expert at eating.
Actually, I am very good at eating food. Mom is all over there carving the turkey, but Dad's over there. He is a whiz with the gravy. It always turns out perfect when Dad does the gravy with the drippings and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, a turkey dinner, a roast beef dinner, maybe
smells.
Maybe
right?
Sometimes, you know, you've had it before. I'm pretty proud of it. When I make chili, that's
very good chili.
Very comforting, obviously, very hearty. Sometimes it's something like that. Sometimes it depends on what the comfort meal is. If you're hungover, for many years, it was, for whatever reason, it was getting some KFC that seemed to do the trick for me. I don't know.
Chicken fried chicken's good.
Yeah. Chicken fried chicken with their mashed potatoes and gravy. I don't know. I felt better after eating it. So.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like the smells. I mean, the smells alone to figure, you know, like you just mentioned roast beef or the turkey dinner. It's just the smells that are comforting, but also then the taste of everything.
Yeah.
Super comforting. Leading the way by far on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page, a lot of people mentioning homemade soups and chilies.
Well, I think too, based on the fact that the temperature kind of turned last night, you might say, I think that all of a sudden, in a lot of people's minds, it switches to soup. So, you know, the chilies, the chicken noodles or some type of creamy type of hearty soup, you know. I know that I loved going downtown. I'll give a shout out to Faux Delicious downtown.
It is so delicious.
It's delicious. Good. I mean, I overeat there all the time because you get this giant bowl of Faux, and then you also get one of their sandwiches, the banh mi, if I could spell
those
words.
Those are delicious,
out.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have all of that. Maybe you throw in a couple spring rolls. I'm just saying.
Do you think of that as comfort food? The soup, yes, but the rest of the stuff?
If there's anything wrong,
it
you
makes
know,
you comfy.
The faux, that just is so good. It is very comforting. But
yeah, Susie says her homemade soups, which a lot of us are saying. Bonnie says the same thing, her homemade chicken noodle soup. But Susie also, here you go, meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
Meatloaf is very comforting. Baked potatoes and then squash with butter and brown sugar.
Oh, okay.
For those of us who, like, I absolutely love squash. But, yeah, squash would be another one that would qualify as a comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
John's like you. He goes with the homemade chili.
Yep.
Dave in Grand Rapids. Is this really comfort food? This is a delicious anytime food. But he says pizza and buffalo wings.
Sometimes it is. I mean, there are certain nights. Granted, it's more during when you're watching, like, maybe a big football game or something.
I mean,
and you don't want to make, say, the Super Bowl chili. You just, you know, you order a nice pizza, your favorite pizza. You get some order of wings with it. Oh, it's a good time.
Wings are delicious, but it's not like we really grew up eating. Well, I guess my mom would make marinated chicken wings. Like, she'd buy that $5 bag or 5-pound bag of chicken wings, and then she'd make Polynesian ones, which are so delicious. Soy sauce, they have pineapple juice on them. I can't remember. Garlic powder. Just really good. But, yeah, so I guess we did have a variation of buffalo wings before buffalo wings became trendy as one of our comfort foods.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, buffalo wings? I mean, then you had chicken drummies prior to like, wings were become the big thing. Not probably until maybe the 90s? Or when did wings become a thing?
I'm sure in certain parts, especially like up in Buffalo, they were always a thing to some extent. But I just remember that. So I'm in training for my job starting in basically the fall of after 9/11. It was in October of 2001. Because I remember I had one of my buddies in training was from Buffalo. So, of course, I'm thinking that because I had had Buffalo wings at that time. So, obviously, it had to be somewhere either obviously very early 2000s or maybe late 90s.
Yeah. Okay?
So, I'm asking him, dude, you're from Buffalo. What's in Buffalo wing sauce? And, of course, he like looks at me and he's just like, equal parts hot sauce and butter. And you're like, that's it? That's all you need? I'm like, I could have done that by myself for years. Why didn't I know that?
That's probably the authentic recipe. But now we've, you know, say Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever. You got so many different variations and different heat levels.
But if you're talking, if you're talking about just a traditional buffalo wing sauce, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I know based on that that wings were a thing in 2001. So I think it was sometime in the 90s where they became
late 90s, 2000. Yeah, because back in the day, like wings really weren't a thing.
I mean, and if you got wings, they were probably at a local establishment you had to go to. Now, I mean, you can order wings to go anywhere.
Oh,
I mean, obviously, you know, lazy people like myself like the boneless wings because then I don't have to
chicken chunks, as some people call it. I do too. I prefer the boneless.
I don't have to work around any kind of bones or anything like that. So, I mean, you got Wingstop, Buffalo Wild Wings. You had wings and Buffalo Wings and Rings.
Every place
you
has
know,
wings
you,
nowadays.
You had places that were built around the fact that they were Buffalo Wing places.
But back in the day when I was bartending and waitressing, it wasn't wings. It was chicken drummies became a thing. So that would have been the 80s. So I bet, 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. 5:30, you're listening to Bonnie and Friends.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. The city of Fargo is seeing an increase in their homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Alfelt says the thought that homeless people are causing the cause for the increase in crime across the city isn't necessarily accurate. He says when you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else is. Some citizens expressing not feeling safe in the downtown area. Alfelt said that shouldn't be a feeling people should have. He also says the population comes growth with all types of things, including crime in some cases. A woman in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to the report of vandalism and a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun. The standoff lasting roughly 30 minutes. The suspect, not identified at this time, stay with us as more details become available. City of West Fargo says it's not interested in purchasing Shea West Garden Center. Rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble up over the past several months, while the owner of Shea West Garden Center and the city have been in a stalemate for a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The owner of Shea West Garden Center says the business is now closing down. An anonymous donor has been given a $20 million gift to the Offutt School of Business at Concordia College. The money will be used to upgrade teaching facilities and help the college retain and build its facility as well as create a new position focused on instructional design and educational innovation. One of the largest donations Concordia College has ever received. Minnesota Department of Transportation reminding Minnesotans about the rules regarding political signs near streets and highways. State law prohibits the placement of political signs along the highway right-of-way, including driving lanes, shoulders, ditches, and intersections. Displays of flags and other signs over bridges and over traffic is also prohibited. Signs cannot be placed on private property without the owner's consent. State law also prohibits placing advertising on utility poles, trees, and shrubs, as well as painting or drawing on rocks and other natural features. Speaking of politics, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz getting higher approval ratings than Ohio Senator J.D. Vance in a new national poll. The USA Today Suffolk University poll of 1,000 likely voters showing 48% in a favorable opinion of the Democratic vice presidential nominee, comparing to 36% of voters who had a favorable opinion of Vance. The Republican vice presidential pick, the survey also found 54% of voters found Walz to be more qualified to become president. Vance receiving support from 42% of those who were polled.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
A little cooler for the weekend, but it's going to remain dry through the weekend and through next week. Great for tailgating, a big iron harvest, whatever you have going on. Partly cloudy, cooler today, 68 for our high temp. Winds will be out of the north at 10 to 15. It will get chilly tonight as we drop down to 44 for the overnight low. Sunny tomorrow with a high right around 73. Southwest winds 5 to 15, 50 the overnight low. Back up to the 80s beginning on Sunday. We will see sunshine, 80 for the high. Southwest winds 5 to 15, 80s all next week, and it'll be partly to mostly sunny with dry conditions. Right now, it is mostly clear. We have 50 degrees here at our WDAY studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. 50 degrees, winds out of the west at 5. 5:35, we want to know, 'tis the season, or we're starting to get close anyway. We want to know, what's your favorite comfort food or meal? 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark is right there with Dave. He puts pizza down too. I guess I don't think of pizza as, I mean, I like it, but I don't think of it as comfort food, but to each his own.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it depends. That's why it's a little bit of a hard question, because it depends.
Whatever makes you feel good.
Comfort food sometimes is something that goes back to your childhood, say, for example. Other times it's just what's comforting, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter what the occasion is, what's that food that just kind of is comforting. So. Like I said, me, there's hangover food, there's Super Bowl food, there's, holiday food, et cetera. So there's a number of different ways you can go with that one.
Yeah, Barb goes with any kind of soup, another soup fan there, or goulash. Yeah, that would be a comfort food, right? Something that sticks to your ribs type thing is what I think of.
And then, I know we had a version of goulash growing up as well. And sometimes, like you said, it depends on like certain foods you had when you were a kid that you knew mom and dad, once a week, in a sense, we're having goulash, or every holiday we're having this dish outside of like your main meats or whatever. So like I said, you talked about having a roast beef.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have that fairly frequently, like on Sundays after church, that would be, because it would be put in the oven. It could roast for 3-4 hours or whatever, starting first thing in the morning.
And the house smells good.
Yeah, you come home from church, you walk in the door in the garage, and you're just like, oh, roast beef.
See, you call it roast beef too. Mm-hmm. My family did too growing up, but my husband's family called it beef roast, so I like conformed and switched to beef roast. But we always called it roast. I mean, it's the same
thing. Maybe they're dyslexic.
I don't know. My mother-in-law, she was a wonderful...
You're roasting the beef.
Maybe. My mother-in-law was a wonderful woman, but she wasn't... She could make a few things. She could make bacon and pork chops pretty good. Yeah. She wasn't an amazing cook, and her goulash recipe, which I didn't have goulash growing up, but it was my husband's favorite, I thought it was terrible, and he still likes it to this day, so I will make it. It's just onions and celery, and then they use just like tomato sauce on the elbow macaroni. With the hamburger.
Yeah, and I don't remember if we
used... Tomato sauce is like so bland.
I don't know if we used elbow macaroni or what shape of pasta we used, but I think we might have had ground beef and onions. I mean, to me, it was nothing more than like using a different noodle, basically, like if you had spaghetti with a meat sauce.
Yeah, you can use any, but you mix it together. Tomato sauce, is that what your mom used, or did she at least use spaghetti sauce? I cheat sometimes. I put a little splooch of ketchup or two in there just to give it more flavor. Tomato sauce is so boring.
I wouldn't use tomato sauce. I almost want to say we use some type of pasta sauce, but maybe
we didn't.
Or even
that, it's more flavorful, but I mean, no, mother-in-law's recipe was just the tomato sauce.
If we used tomato sauce, I know there was beef, and ground beef, and onions, and obviously probably some salt, pepper, maybe some garlic salt as well.
Hey, you're getting a little crazy with the spices now for that other side of my family.
I know.
We season everything good. But it's like, he likes it like that, but I suppose that's how his mom made it.
Sure.
And so to him, it tastes good, and I'm just like,
That's why, like, I love my mother to death, but the way that, like, say, macaroni and cheese was made, homemade back in the day, didn't do it because it wasn't creamy enough. It was runny.
Okay.
And that's no fun. No, and the way she made chili the way my dad loved it. So it was more like, it's more like a broth with beef and onions and beans in it.
My sister-in-law uses tomato juice in her chili.
I don't know that she used that. I just know that if you have, think about the consistency of the actual soup portion of, like, say, chicken noodle soup, where the stock is there.
It was like that.
It's that plus the beef and the beans. Mine is very thick. I put tomato paste in with it to thicken it up.
I do too, because I like it thick. But to each his own, and that's the thing. If that's something you grew up on, maybe you like it, but then when you get to be an adult and you're cooking your own food, you can make your own tweaks and do your own thing.
Did anybody say, a hot dish or a specific hot dish? Because up here in the Midwest, obviously tater tot hot dish or tater tot casserole, as some maybe
that's
will call it, that's
people.
A big
no,
one.
No, no, but the only one that's listed the hot dish or casserole so far is Barb saying the goulash.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that my sister loved tater tot hot dish. My brother, his favorite was chow mein noodle hot dish, which...
Ooh. I like that.
Overall, it was okay, but now nowadays when I know of things like sriracha and obviously more
spice
like
it up
teriyaki
and
or something like that, it was there was probably some cream of mushroom or cream of some type of soup in there with beef and then basically some rice or whatever, and you put the little crunchy noodles on top of it. So,
My sister-in-law will do a casserole like that. My mom made what she called it chop suey, and so it was more liquidy, kind of like if you bought that can of that blue can of
yeah, from La Choy.
Yeah, that stuff. So it was kind of like that, and then she'd cook up either beef or chicken. Usually it was beef. She would fry that, you know, first and season that, and then she would add it to, like, those noodles or whatever, and it was more liquidy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would put it, and it had soy sauce in it, too, and then you would put it over rice to serve it.
Okay, yeah.
So it wasn't a casserole. My sister-in-law turns it into a casserole, but basically she just packs the rice on the bottom and then adds. And it's delicious either way.
Yeah, there was something about the chow mein noodle hot dish. Maybe it was the actual chow mein noodles I wasn't a huge fan of. But
I don't like my the crunchy ones, but I like the
it was the crunchy ones,
the soft ones in the can.
I didn't find out really kind of maybe what I liked back in the day. You know, so now when I'm older, I have certain things I like. And, you know, I'm probably – I know my folks still don't. They don't really like sushi at all. And myself, the wife, the girls, I mean, we taught the girls early on about sushi. So now, usually once a week, one of the two of them was like, Dad, can we go get sushi?
Sushi is a newer thing, too, kind of like hot wings. They weren't, you know, back then, and your mom and dad didn't grow up with it. I mean, sushi's been around, what, like, regionally, locally here, what, 15, 10 years?
No, I would say when we moved here in 07... there was one place to get sushi. Now we literally have two places that are all you can eat sushi.
And then Hornbacher's, you can go to
you
the grocery
Hornbacher's,
store. And-
you got Hornbacher's. There's also Kobe's, I think, Osaka. I think if that's still open, there was, what's the one?
I don't know. I'd say maybe within the last.
Samurai, I think it's over by Home Depot and
there's
stuff.
There's a number of. I'd say within the last 12 to 15 years max.
I didn't even actually try sushi until I was living in Tucson, and I lived in Tucson from 1997 to 2001. So it was late 90s, early 2000 when I finally tried it. So I've only been on the sushi bandwagon for like 25 years.
I went out for lunch with Carly one day downtown, and so that was probably maybe 10 years ago. That was the first time I've ever had sushi, and I'll only eat the stuff that has like cooked crab or shrimp in it.
Baby.
I'm not eating raw fish, thank you. You can get some type of illness. I'm going to hard pass on that. What's your favorite comfort food or meal? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. Email us studio at wdayradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Good Friday morning. Fry-yay. Is it Fry-yay or is it finally Friday for you, Jace?
Well, it's finally Friday, but not done until tonight after that Shanley-Minot rematch from last season.
That'll
so
be a good game.
It'll be a great game. I mean, Shanley put up 66 points last week, so we'll see if they can do that again. But once we get done with that tonight, then we'll have basically our last open Saturday until the end of the football season. Mm-hmm. So.
And we've got over in Moorhead the big parade, and we've got that today. Greater Moorhead Days Parade starts at about 6 o'clock.
So it's an evening parade.
Yeah, looks like 20th Street. That's the main route that runs by the MSUM football field. About 5:15 is when they're expecting a lot of pedestrian traffic. It'll close from 5:45 to 7:30. So just a heads up for that.
So does that like make its way like over to the high school? Because the football game over there starts at 7. So, I mean, does the parade kind of work in conjunction
with
kickoff?
Well, that's the street that goes up there. It's been so long since I've been to the parade that I would guess so.
Well, I didn't know if this had – I mean, because I'm sure, you know, Moorhead High is not having homecoming or anything already, but – home opener tonight, 7 o'clock at Moorhead High. So, obviously, if the parade goes right there, you would think the marching band would just march right on over there and then play at the game as well, in addition to marching.
Yeah, big thing. A lot of kids will be out. A lot of candy being thrown, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, it's been a number of years, but I know that's just a busy intersection there, and so streets will be blocked, so if you're not going to the parade, just heads up for that. But yeah, big football game, it's football season here, and Bison game tomorrow. A lot of people will be out tailgating prior to the game, too, so it's perfect weather. Sunny, dry, little cooler temperatures, but no complaints at all about the weather here for tailgating. It is 5:50, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We want to know, what is your favorite comfort food or meal? That's our question of the morn. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. John goes with the homemade chili. Yeah, soups, chilies. Susie also throws in a little homemade ice cream. I've never made homemade ice cream.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
That used to be a big thing that my dad's dad used to do. He had an old ice cream maker. Mm-hmm. And so at one point, I think we bought one. So I think we have an ice cream maker at my house. We've got a number of appliances we don't use enough. A dehydrator, ice cream maker.
All that stuff takes up either counter or cupboard space, too.
But I think we bought one for my folks so that they could do it. And I don't know how often they do it, but I remember my grandpa bringing this old ice cream maker, and it's just churning away while you're having like supper or whatever together. Mm-hmm. And then finally the big payoff is getting homemade ice cream for dessert after supper.
It wasn't a thing in our house, which surprises me. I mean, we bought a lot of ice cream back in the day from the Schwann's, man, especially, but the only time I think I've had homemade ice cream, my friend Brenda had, I was some like ball, and you put it in the ball. We were camping and put all the ingredients in the ball, and then you just throw the ball around. That's your way of shaking it and stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the only time I've actually had homemade ice cream that I can recall. Oh.
Well, and I think the only disappointing thing is, like, if you go to the store and buy a quart, a pint, a half gallon, a gallon, you can get, more. So it doesn't. You don't make a ton of it.
Oh, it just makes a little bit.
It makes kind of a smaller amount. So I think there were times when, I don't remember how many of us were there, if Grandpa just did it when it was just the five of us and then him or what. But it was like you'd make some ice cream and then all of a sudden you're out and then you got to make some more. So you kind of want to get started early on making homemade ice cream.
That's probably why we didn't do it, because there was nine of us plus Grandma. Yeah. So 10 of us, we'd probably have to make multiple batches of it.
For 10 of you guys, you probably got to start the day before.
Plus, I mean, the Schwann's man came to the house and right just like a block away was a Dairy Queen and A&W. Yeah. So if we wanted ice cream, I guess that's the way we did it.
But,
All right, what's your favorite comfort food or meal? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, if you want to weigh in on that. I did notice Shields Arena did a post. Paula Abdul was supposed to be coming in for a concert, and she's got some type of health issue.
Her tour has been canceled.
Yeah,
I believe,
so if you bought tickets, refunds will be through your point of purchase. You'll be getting your money refunded. But I mean, I probably heard it announced that she was coming, and then I guess I forgot about it. Do you remember? Was it a few months back? Maybe
we talked about it like maybe this spring or something, that she was coming and she was going to be there. I can't remember if Tiffany was going to be on the bill as well, and there was a third artist as well. There was three of them.
Okay, now that you say that, it's like, that sounds familiar.
So, I mean, Paula Abdul was the headliner, though, which, I mean, there was two other acts, like I said. I think it was Tiffany and somebody else. So it was kind of a 1980s, 90s kind of nostalgia type of tour.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that Paula Abdul was going to be the headliner, because I do know she's had some health issues in the past. So for her to get out there and do a tour, especially coming to, obviously smaller venues like, here in Fargo, as opposed to just doing some big shows out in California, I was a little bit surprised by that. But obviously the health concerns is putting that all on hold.
Yeah, so if you happen to buy tickets for that, you will get refunded for that concert. 5:54, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, starts today at 8:10, and every Friday throughout the football season, we will do the Pick 6 with Big Game James McCarty, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. Get yourself involved in that. Whoever gets the most picks right wins themselves a fabulous gift card, and James will let you know what you'll be vying for this next week. Coming up at 8:10 this morning, if you want to find it, WDAYRadioNow.com. It's like midway down the page. It'll say Pick 6. It's not open yet. It will be at 8:10 when we start discussing it. And also, we've got this fancy new mobile app. I don't know if you guys have updated your app yet, but it's pretty slick looking, and it's easy to find on there as well. Very nice mobile app.
Like, yeah,
if you want to check out the news, the weather, whatever, it looks pretty slick. 5:54 right now, we are checking in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Rito. 5:56, Monty and Friends, WDAY Radio on a Friday. Monty Mastati, Jace Denman. We talked about the Paula Abdul tour canceled. I guess Taylor Dane was the third headline.
Oh, yeah, that's
what
it was.
So,
yep.
I guess bummer. That
yeah,
happens, though.
I mean, it happens. But, I mean, I don't know. There was part of me, like I said, with Paula Abdul, the headliner, I'm kind of like, all right. I was surprised she was touring, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, concert tickets are expensive in this day and age. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to a concert, I'm going to be very, very selective about which artist I'm going to see.
Yes, definitely.
Of course, when Elton John was in town, I had to get tickets for that because that was his farewell tour, mm-hmm. you know, and I had to see Elton John, who now is having some eye issues. I think partially blind in one of his eyes. I saw something on the... earlier in the week, I wanted to North Dakota Highway Patrol. I saw last night that well, it's not funny.
Why are you laughing?
Well, it's kind of funny, but there was a wreck yesterday afternoon in which one. I don't think anybody was hurt, mm-hmm. but one of the vehicles involved was a trailer hauling bees in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So they had put out a Facebook post telling people if you're traveling through that area, and this was over in the Bismarck area. Mile marker 158 roll up your windows. You don't want to. That's the worst. If you ever get a bee or even a fly in the car is annoying.
I don't know what was over there in Moorhead. I don't know if you have any over in your yard, but I know that over at the MSUM tailgate.
Yeah.
With the food that everybody had out for the tailgating, I mean, there were bees or yellow jackets
well,
or something.
It's that time of year.
They definitely weren't bumblebees. And we had what I thought were yellow jackets up in the press box, and then over at the tailgate, I think there were some of the same ones. I don't know if those were yellow jackets. I don't think they were wasps or anything like that. I didn't think they were
hornets.
They could have been hornets, but I mean they were buzzing around the food and stuff like that. So it was kind of annoying.
Yeah, the yellow jackets are nasty. Like the bumblebees, they're cute, right? Like,
yeah, they definitely
they just
weren't fuzzy
drink
little
the nectar out
yeah,
of the plants.
They definitely weren't fuzzy little bumblebees. They were a little more fit looking bug, and I think they had the stripes on them. So I don't know if they were yellow jackets or hornets.
Well, and they're aggressive, and that's like I remember when kids were little too. It's like you don't want to be like if you have a can of pop or something, mm-hmm. you don't want to leave that sitting out because if they get down there, and you end
absolutely.
Up drinking that, you get stung in the throat, and they're just aggressive. I remember one time my husband he fell off a trailer at work, and so he had this massive scar. Going up his back or whatever, and he was in the backyard, and there was a hornet nest under our porch, kind mm-hmm. of up high, and he was watering the plants, and one of the hornets ended up stinging him like right under the eye.
Just as soon
as he swore and grabbed his eye, another one hit him underneath.
Oh, geez.
So not only did he have two hornet bites, one under each eye, and his eyes were basically swollen shut. He also had that massive injury on his back.
Geez.
He was looking pretty rough there for a while, but that's pretty serious. But yeah, it looked like it wasn't. Nobody was hurt in that crash in Bismarck, but the fact that the bees were, they got loose after that crash there. So the State Patrol was reminding drivers to pay attention when you're driving and leave yourself plenty of distance because, I mean, if somebody's allergic, too, that situation could have ended a whole lot differently.
Mm-hmm.
It is 6 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. North Dakota Attorney General's Office releasing more than 6,000 emails that were at one time thought to be lost after a staff member of the late Attorney General, Wayne Stengem, asked the State Information Technology Department to delete his emails after Stengem died. We're currently looking through the emails for content. Stay with us as more details become available. A woman is in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton Police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to a report of vandalism and had a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun. The standoff lasting approximately 30 minutes. The suspect, not identified at this time. Again, stay with us as details become available. City of West Fargo not interested in purchasing the Shea West Garden Center. Rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble up over the last several months, while the owner of Shea West says the city and the city have been in the still on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The statement follows the closure of Shea West, who cited the lack of cooperation with the city as a key reason they shuttered their doors. City of Fargo seeing an increase in homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Alfelt says the thought homeless people are the cause for the increase in crime across the city is not necessarily accurate. He says when you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else. Some citizens expressing not feeling safe in downtown Fargo. Alfelt says it's reasonable to feel that downtown is safe. However, he adds that population growth can also bring crime in some cases. An anonymous donor giving a $20 million gift to the Offalt School of Business at Concordia College. The money will be used to upgrade teaching facilities and help the college retain and build its facility, as well as create a new position focused on instructional design and educational innovation, one of the largest donations Concordia College has ever received. Researchers from UND Energy Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involves injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosen up hard-to-reach oils. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period. And a dispute over iron ore in northeast Minnesota headed to trial in federal court. A court in Delaware ruling yesterday, Mesabi Metallics can proceed with their lawsuit against Cleveland Cliffs. The court's ruling stating enough evidence exists to prove that Cleveland Cliffs engaged in anti-competitive conduct, damaging Mesabi's work to build an iron ore mine and pelletizing plant in Itasca County. Mesabi seeking nearly $2 billion in damages from Cleveland Cliffs.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
6:03, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here now with a check on our weekend weather, and it's looking lovely.
It is. It really is. For this time of the year, we've got some nice, cool, crisp fall weather to start off today. There's some little upper-level disturbance moving through northern Minnesota. This is sparking some showers, generally east of the river, some of those coming close to the Grand Forks area. But that will slide eastward into Minnesota as we head throughout the morning. Temperature is a little chilly. We're at 50 degrees here at the studio. 48 in Yulin, 47 in Moorhead. DL, you're 49. Wahpeton's at 44. And Grand Forks at 50. We're looking at partly cloudy skies and, again, some scattered showers in northwest Minnesota. In the northern valley, that will slide eastward. Then we'll be left with partly cloudy as skies as we head into the afternoon. Not as breezy today either. We'll have highs close to 70 with a north wind about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear and crisp. That's what we'll call it. 45 for our low. There will be some areas that probably dip into the low 40s. Oh, gosh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
I mean, sleeping.
It is. Now, do you leave your windows open on a night like tonight, tomorrow morning?
No, because somebody might light a fire pit. But like if I'm awake and it's the afternoon.
Somebody's going to light a fire pit right outside your window?
Well, you just don't. I can smell it. I mean, if it's a block away, I can smell the smoke.
Huh. Okay.
I'm allergic to it. And if you're sensitive to stuff like that, you notice it. But if it's daytime and say I'm sitting in the living room, I'll definitely open the windows as long as I know nobody's lit anything.
It's nice. Fresh air coming in. That's awesome. And then the weekend looking pretty good. A lot of sunshine both Saturday, Sunday. Wind's not that strong. They'll be out of the south, 5 to 15. Highs in the low 70s on Saturday and low 80s on Sunday. Really looks like a fantastic weekend weather-wise. Summer weather. I hate to say it's summer weather, but it's going to feel like summer next week. I'll have the details on that coming up after the bottom of the hour. We're not done with the warm weather.
Yeah, lots of tailgating going on this weekend, so perfect weather for that. We've got harvest continuing next week. We have Big Iron. This is ideal weather.
This really is. You know, our ag community wants the dry weather here for harvest, and boy, for tailgating Saturday morning, if you're tailgating early,
grab a jacket.
Sweatshirt,
hoodie.
But it'll warm up quickly throughout the morning, and winds will be relatively light out of the south. So ideal weather for tailgating too.
Did you see? I sent this to both you and Justin.
Yes,
the lightning strike with the three teenagers.
Yeah,
how lucky are they? They survived. One of them they talked to. This is a K-Fire story. One, they all got knocked out cold. One said he woke up first and he saw his two buddies lying on the ground. All three had been hit by. How lucky are they, Dean?
But well. Go buy a lottery ticket. That's how lucky you are. I mean, for all three to get hit and not, you know, I mean, you get hit by lightning. You don't understand the amount of energy and electricity that goes. I mean, think of if you get shocked, you know, sticking your, you know, when you were a little kid, maybe a.
Oh, I did that with the penny.
Yeah.
Or right the dime. Right
in the socket.
The dime, I think it was.
Yeah. Ooh, what does this do? Obviously, much, much worse. And I've known people that have gotten struck on a golf. Usually it's a golf course. A lot of golfers get struck. Boy, it's you're lucky to survive. And again, the old saying is, if you hear thunder, you know, just get into shelter immediately.
Yeah.
You don't have to see the lightning, or you don't. Once you hear thunder,
was it like 10 miles away or something like that?
It depends. But typically, if you hear the thunder out ahead of it, you're normally going to be. You'll have time to get into shelter. Especially, you know, golf course outside. I think they were hunting.
Goose hunting.
So really, there's nowhere they could have went.
Mm-mm.
Unfortunately.
And after they all woke up, they drove home. But then they went to the emergency room. One has a brain bleed. One has flash burn in his eyes. A big cut in his hand.
And this will probably they'll have long lasting effects from this. But hey, they're lucky to be alive. So
is it true? I think I've heard this before. And I don't know if it's true, but. Once you're hit by lightning, are you more susceptible to be hit by lightning again, or no? Is that not no? He's looking at me like that's
that. I've never heard that.
I read
are
that
you
somewhere.
A magnet
like,
for static electricity?
Yeah, so then you're a magnet?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
Okay, well, you would know better than me. Yeah. Like I thought I heard that somewhere, but boy,
has been drinking this morning?
not yet.
Stone cold sober.
All right, you sure? What's in that coffee over
Maybe
there?
Maybe I should start drinking. But yeah, I mean, wow, how lucky for
them. Hey, Dean, is it true that once you get rained on, you're more susceptible? We'll get rained on.
Well, it's possible.
I'm going to Google see if there's something out. I thought I heard
now
that
she's
somewhere.
Now she's going to try and back her
she's
own story
find,
up.
She's going to find the Google machine and figure it out.
No, I trust Dean. I mean, he's an expert. So
no, but those
that's
kids,
why I asked you.
Those kids were very lucky. Yeah. I don't think they're old enough to buy lottery tickets. Go have your parents buy lottery tickets for you.
Oh.
Man. What's your question of the day today?
What's your favorite comfort food or meal?
Oh, man. Well, if it's a snack, pretzels.
Okay. Oh,
pretzels are so good, and they're so hard to stop eating.
I know, right? Well, yeah, once you start, forget it. If it's a sweet snack, Don Kinsler's Aronia Berries. Holy
moly. Oh, my gosh, those muffins he made were incredible.
Those Aronia Berries were so good. But, like, if it's a sweet snack, kettle corn is always it's better for you and it satisfies my sweet tooth.
It is not. What makes it better? It's got sugar on it.
It's better for you than like munching on a cinnamon roll. How's that? No?
Yeah.
I'm trying to justify
that.
I'm trying to justify this. But like if it's a meal, can't beat a good meatloaf.
Yeah, that's what Susie said too.
Meatloaf or even, you know, spaghetti.
Oh,
spaghetti's too, but meatloaf is meatloaf and mashed potatoes. Oh man,
a lot of soup and chili people too.
Well, wintertime, a nice a nice big bowl of chili with crackers and cheese. Oh man, now I'm hungry.
Now I made you hungry.
It's about 10 after 6, and I'm thinking of chili, and I'm trying to lose weight. Thanks a lot, Bonnie.
You're a big
help.
How's your weight loss going to go with you and Ronnie in Nebraska? Because I'm sure there's going to be plenty of beverages.
Well, I already
and pizza
told Ronnie
snacks.
This is a dry trip. So we're needing.
Oh, whatever. Goodbye.
Well, that's
good
out the window
night,
already.
Irene. 610 National News from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. 614, Big Game James McCarty's arrived with a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Twins ended up splitting their 4-game series with the Tampa Bay Rays last night with a 4-3 victory. Pablo Lopez got the victory. He went 6 2/3 innings, 9 strikeouts, gave up 3 runs, a quality start in that one. You did have Edward Julian hit a 3-run homer, Matt Wallner a solo shot that needed all of those runs to get the win. Twins remain on the road. They're going to visit a division foe in Kansas City this weekend. First pitch for tonight's opener will be 7:10. Zebby Matthews on the nod for Minnesota. Cole Reagans will counter for the Royals. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks welcome Sioux City to Newman Outdoor Field for Game 2 of their West Division opening round series tonight. First pitch at 6:30. Redhawks lead that best-of-3 series 1-0. If the Redhawks win tonight, they advance to the West Division Championship Series. If the Explorers win tonight, a decisive Game 3 would be played Saturday evening at 6:30 at Newman Outdoor Field. MSU Dragon football falling to Wayne State College 44-17 to open the 2024 season. Jack Strand completing 21 of 46 passes for 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Gage Florence had 18 by 114 yards receiving. Jack Bungarden would pace the defense with 9 tackles. Dragons head off to Minnesota Duluth to battle the Bulldogs, the preseason NSIC favorite, next Saturday, September 14th. Tonight on WDAY Radio, Spud Football, as they host Rogers kickoff at 7 o'clock. Larry Knutson the call for that one. And in our sister station, The Flag, we have an 11-3A state championship rematch in North Dakota between the Deacons and the Minot Magicians. Jason and I will be on the call for that one on our sister station, The Flag, with kickoff slated for 7 p.m. And this weekend, all of the college and pro football you could handle. Bison football has their home opener on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 against Tennessee State. Number, depending on what poll you're looking at, 23/20. North Dakota welcomes number 4 Montana to the Alaris Center Saturday at 6 p.m. That's a later kickoff there. And the Gophers have a FCS matchup against Rhode Island with an 11 a.m. kickoff Saturday. Additionally, the Vikings kick off their season Sunday at noon against the New York Football Giants with coverage of that one on Fox. So all kinds of excitement, to say the least, here. And depending on what happens at Newman Outdoor Field tonight, North Fargo could be the life of the party in the upper Midwest tomorrow night.
It's a good time of year. And
it is.
You're launching our Pick 6 8:10 this morning. Football season has arrived.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, yeah. Ramjack North.
I knew it was here. I just...
Didn't know it was here?
You're ready for it.
It's a processing thing. You know?
You've got the game selected. I've taken a look at them.
The nice thing is we have a lot of very relevant local teams, so that helps make it a little bit more fun. So
there you go.
Yeah, we'll be picking the Bison game, the UND game, the Bunny Rabbit game, all that great stuff. So it'll be a blast.
You bet. So get ready for that. 8:10 this morning, Pick 6, each and every Friday. We want you guys to get involved in that. You going to tell them what the prize is, or do they have to wait till 8:10?
To make them wait.
Okay. You'll win a
gift
card. They're
going to suffer a little
Whoever gets the most picks right, we find out Monday morning, unless, of course, there's Monday Night Football included in that, which some weeks it happens. But we'll find out our winner on Monday, and whoever wins gets a gift card to a very fine establishment. Get involved in that coming up at 8:10 this morning. WDAYRadioNow.com. Our Pick 6 is midway down the page. But if you have the mobile app, also about midway down, super easy to find. This is a crazy story. The best condition ever Wilt Chamberlain card in existence has been found in Minnesota, and it has been sold. Did you hear this story? Did you see this, James? Did you come across this?
What was it?
Two brothers from Crosby, Minnesota, which is like, I don't know, 20 miles from Brainerd or whatever, Crosby-Ironton area.
Oh, yeah.
Their family back in the day used to run a grocery store, and they were helping their folks, you know, stock the shelves. And one of the brothers, you know, broke open some baseball cards, maybe intentionally, maybe accidentally.
Maybe not.
However, they were broken, so they couldn't sell them. So they threw them basically in a desk drawer or whatever and forgot about them. This was 60 years ago. Basically forgot about them. One of them came across the baseball cards. His dad had told him that he actually burned them, which he didn't, but came across them. And in the whole stack of baseball cards was a pristine Wilt Chamberlain card. So there's an antique dealer, a guy that deals with collectibles right there in Crosby, Minnesota. The two brothers want to remain anonymous, which I don't blame them because this card is worth a lot of money. Took him to the antique guy. He knew that they were worth a lot. He actually flew, I think it was out to Vegas to get them. No, flew to Florida. He and his brother flew to Florida to find out how much this card was worth. $1.7 million. He found a buyer for $2 million for the one card. So those two brothers from Crosby, Minnesota are getting $2 million.
Jeez.
For the best in shape Wilt Chamberlain card.
That's awesome.
They were thinking like, I don't know, maybe we can get like $8,000 for it or something.
Oh, yeah. You're just like, maybe get a few grand for it for lucky, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, if you get something like that, there are collectors out there that collect certain things. And, man, if you find the right thing at the right time and it's in good shape, it's worth a lot of money.
1961 Fleer basketball Wilt Chamberlain rookie card.
Wow, a rookie card. That's amazing.
And how many of us back in – did you You're not the generation for this, James. You took baseball cards or clothespins and you put them in your bike spokes, right?
We used clothespins and we used playing cards.
Yeah.
As opposed to baseball cards.
You kind of wonder, like, how many of those trading cards over the years went into bike spokes that actually, if you still held on to them and they were in great shape, you kind of wonder, like, how much money you could have potentially got for that.
I think, to some extent, Bonnie, I think we're of the age where you normally, I had like an uncle or something that might have kind of collected some of those, and they're like, oh, if I wouldn't have put this one in my bike spokes, it would have been worth a lot of money. And you're just like, obviously. So, you know, here it is.
My brother had a ton of stuff, but he was only a boy, so there were six girls and one boy. And he had a ton of trading cards, and he had an old incredible train set, you know, like the steel ones that are worth a lot of money now. But my mom and dad, since he was the only boy and he was one of the older ones, they gave them to friends who had boys. But a lot of that stuff that Lou had when he was little would have been worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But everything else that went through like seven kids or maybe four cousins before us, of course, none of that stuff is worth any money anymore because we trashed.
Curses.
Well, it went through that many kids. You kind of trashed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
painting, this is a painting found in Maine worth a whole lot of money. Speaking of expensive things, somebody else is a millionaire. We'll have details on that coming up next. 6:23, Friday morning. Good morning, and thanks for being here. Looks like a gorgeous weekend. Perfect weekend if you're doing any tailgating. We got the Greater Moorhead Days Parade over in Moorhead later this afternoon. Lots of high school, college football games to take in. Might want to grab a jacket or sweatshirt or something because it does cool down as we get later here into the evening hours. But 68 for our high temp today, 73 tomorrow, 80 on Sunday, and dry. Looks like 80s all next week. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will have more on that forecast coming up here in about 10 minutes. We'll also talk bunch of early opening season. Steve Carney Outdoors joins us at 7:10 this morning. We'll talk about goose opener, dove opener, and the early teal season with him at 7:10. And don't forget, 8:10, the pick six with Big Game James McCarty, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. So we just talked about Wilt Chamberlain rookie card worth $2 million. It is in the best condition of any Wilt Chamberlain card ever found. Two Crosby, Minnesota men, brothers, are now millionaires. Although, taxes will have to come out, right, tax man?
I would think so, yes.
But, I mean, wow.
I wonder how that works, because, I mean,
you're selling something. You sold it. So.
You sold something that to some other people has basically no value, so it's not a capital gains tax. I think it's just going to be income, and I suppose the brothers split it $1 million a piece, so hopefully they only lose about 30% of it rather than, you know, 50% or anything.
And I'm guessing that they are well into their adult years. I mean, it was like 60 years ago and they worked at their parents' grocery store. So these gentlemen are probably up there in age. They wish to remain anonymous. So all we know is the antiques dealer, card dealer in Crosby, Minnesota, who sold it. Somebody else found something very expensive. It's a 17th century Rembrandt painting found in an attic in Maine. Just sold for $1.4 million.
How do you have a Rembrandt just in your attic?
I don't know. And, I mean, I've seen this picture before, portrait of a girl. And she looks like she has, like, a scarf on her head and a big Quaker collar. Like, I would look at that and I'd be like, no, that's old. That's junk. I'm getting rid of it.
I'm going to take it over to the thrift store and let them just sell it.
I would totally be like, no, that's ugly. That's old.
Yeah, I know. I don't want that in my house. So, you know, that looks something that's a haunted picture or something, you know, and you give it away and someone would eventually buy it for like $2 at Savers and you're just like, oh, whatever.
And it's worth
You know that's a Rembrandt worth almost $2 million?
Yeah.
I did not realize that. Buffy.
You have to have an eye. Like, some people are great at spotting things that are worth money, and that's what they do. They go to thrift stores. I've got a sister that, like, looks for certain books or old toys, and she makes good money picking that up at thrift stores, and then she resells it on the internet. But I have no clue, and I hate clutter, so it's like, oh, that's old, or I'm going to get rid of this, whether it goes in the garbage or you donate it somewhere. Like, my mom and dad have these old pictures, and they used to be their old frames. They're pictures of, let me see, my grandparents, great-grandparents. So they're like five generations. And for my kids, they'd be like six generations old. So you're talking pictures from the, you know, mid-1800s, some of them early 1900s. And my mom's got them in these frames, acquired them from my grandma who had them in her house. And she used to have them in the living room where my kids would sleep when we'd go visit grandma and grandpa. And because they were so stoic back then, they didn't smile and they had creep. My kids would get so creeped out by those pictures that were in the living room. They thought they were watching them as they trying to sleep or whatever.
Then someone in the other room would slide the thing with the eyes and then put their eyes there so they could look in the other room.
But things like that, I mean, they're family heirlooms. Yeah, I believe the frames are, I don't know if they're original. The frames are probably worth money. And like I said, I have this one sister that likes to, she's probably got dollar signs in her eyes. She'll probably end up wanting to sell those when mom and dad
pass. So this is a picture of your grandparents' great-grandparents, or is it just a picture of your great-grandparents?
No, grandparents, great-grandparents. So they're old. Like I said, 1800s.
So their great-grandparents would be... Yours would be your great-great-grandparents, so great-great-great-grandparents for your kids.
Four or five generations.
It might be earlier. It might be more like mid-1800s.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. 1850s
or maybe 1820s. I mean, man, those are...
I mean, are heirlooms like that? I mean, they're... But the kids nowadays, they don't really care about the old pictures and stuff like that. At least mine don't.
No, and I know that after, I don't know, it was probably after the grandparents died, but I know that in my house I've got like the wedding day photos of both sets of my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something cool to have because seeing my grandparents as young adults that got married, because they got married a bit younger back then, and seeing them young... And that in the prime of their life and still, you know, like for my paternal grandfather and my maternal grandmother, they were 21 years old and they had another 70 years of life to be lived before they passed away. So it's really cool.
It's meaningful to you. And I have one of my mom and dad on my mom's wedding day and they're standing with my mom. It is meaningful to me.
Yeah.
It might be to one of my kids, but like I said, as the generations go on, things that we treasure or our parents or grandparents treasure, our kids don't necessarily do.
The funny thing about my picture of my dad's parents is that my grandfather was a few years older than my grandmother, and my grandmother was a beautiful woman, and so she's beautiful picture of her next to grandpa. And the weirdest thing is, of course, you can't like take a picture and look at it like digital photos or even photos on your phone. There's a predominant fly on the lapel of my grandfather's suit in that picture, and you're just like, oh, there's Grandpa and his little best man right there.
So his best man.
So it's just like it's very noticeable that they ended up with a fly on Grandpa's suit. So,
but yeah, I mean, like I said, that stuff is meaningful, but in terms of is it worth anything, is anybody going to want it? Some of the really, really old stuff, you might be able to donate it to like a heritage society or historical
here's the thing:
society.
Like if I refer to my grandparents. A lot of times my daughters think of my parents and I'm like, no, like my grandma Harms, I have to go, no, your great grandma Harms.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Cause they met great grandma Harms. They met, I think both of them were able to meet great grandpa Denman then, but at times you refer to them and they think you're talking about my parents. And so they get confused. So there's no real connection, honestly, with my daughters and their great grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a little bit more with my grandma. But it's one of those things where when they don't have that connection, that's why sometimes those photos don't mean as much. Because, like, I only knew two of my great-grandmothers, you know, two out of eight. So it's like I wish I would have known all my great-grandparents, but it just doesn't happen that way.
Totally get it. It is 6:30. You're listening to Bonnie and Friends.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. North Dakota Attorney General's office releasing more than 6,000 emails that were at least at one time thought to be lost after a staff member, the late Attorney General Wayne Stengem, asked the State Information Technology Department to delete his emails after Stengem died. We're currently looking through our emails at this point in time for more information, so stay with us as those details become available. A woman's in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to the report of vandalism and a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun. The standoff lasted roughly 30 minutes. The suspect not identified at this time. So stay with us as more details become available in that story. City of West Fargo says they are not interested in purchasing the Shea West Garden Center property. Rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble up over the last several months, while the owner of Shea West Garden Center and the city have been in a stalemate on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The statement following the closure of Shea West, who cited a lack of cooperation with the city as a key reason they shuttered their doors. City of Fargo seeing an increase in their homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Alfeld says the thought homeless people are the cause for the increase in crime across the city is not necessarily accurate. He says you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else. Some citizens have expressed not feeling safe in the downtown area. Alfeld says it's reasonable to feel safe downtown. However, he does add population growth can bring crime in some cases. An anonymous donor giving a $20 million gift to the Offutt School of Business at Concordia College. The money will be used to upgrade teaching facilities and help the college retain and build their facility, as well as create a new position focused on instructional design and educational innovation. It's one of the largest donations Concordia College has ever received. Researchers from UND's Energy and Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involves injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosen up hard-to-reach oil pockets. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period. In a dispute over iron ore, northeast Minnesota headed to trial in federal court. A court in Delaware ruling yesterday, Mesabi Metallics can proceed with their lawsuit against Cleveland Cliffs. The court's ruling stating enough evidence exists to prove Cleveland Cliffs engaged in anti-competitive conduct that damaged Mesabi's work to build an iron ore mine and pelletizing plant in Itasca County. Mesabi is seeking nearly $2 billion in damages from Cleveland Cliffs.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
6:34, Chief Meteorologist Dee Maisaki here now with a check on our weekend forecast.
Aloha!
Aloha. Where are you going? You're not going to Hawaii. You're going to Nebraska.
We are.
Como usta usted?
But it's going to be like, it's going to be an aloha party, I
think. Are you going to behave yourself?
I hope so. Man,
I can make Ronnie. No guarantees, Bonnie.
Now, last time Ronnie and I went down there, we brought our ladies with us.
Yeah. Well, we had chaperones.
This is a guy trip only.
Uh-oh. Poor Ronnie.
I told Ronnie, just bring bail money.
Don't corrupt Ronnie.
Now, bring bail money, and we're Ubering everywhere
yes,
we go.
Very smart.
Oh, man. We're looking at some light shower activity outside right now, stretching from Thief River through DL areas. There's a little upper-level disturbance riding through Lakes Country, and that will continue to press southward. So a little morning shower activity this morning, and then we'll turn partly cloudy. Again, we should say we'll stay dry here in the FM area. But east of us in Lakes Country, a little light shower activity. Then we'll turn partly cloudy to mostly sunny for this afternoon. Not as breezy as yesterday, with highs today pretty close to 70, although many areas, especially east, will be in the 60s today, with a north wind at about 5 to 10. For tonight, clear and crisp. We're looking at lows in the mid-40s. Some areas could dip into the low 40s, especially in Lakes Country, with south winds about 5 to 10. And then the weekend looks really nice. A lot of sunshine. Winds not overly strong. They'll be out of the south about 5 to 15 both days. Highs in the low 70s on Saturday, low 80s on Sunday. So for tailgating or Saturday morning, if you're going out early, and by early I'm talking like 7, 8 o'clock, yeah, probably still be in the 40s.
Yeah.
But it'll warm up quickly into the 50s and then eventually 60s by kickoff. And then we're looking at next week, mid-80s, most of next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe upper 80s by Thursday and
ooh,
Friday.
Upper 80s, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait for it to cool off.
Yeah, right, yeah. So for Big Iron next week, looking pretty good, pretty good. There's a slight chance of an isolated shower or storm Thursday or Friday next week. I left it dry for now. But, yeah, Big Iron looks nice, a little warm, but not terrible. Humidity levels shouldn't be that bad. So I was, you know, Bridget was saying yesterday, she's like, I remember times where we'd had to wear jackets, and there's other times where we were just sweating our butts off. So
yeah, yeah.
Each year is a little bit different, but all next week, I'm telling you what. And the LRC predicted this months and months ago, that the month of September, we were going to have at or above normal temperatures in a pretty dry month. There's two spikes, according to the LRC, in precip for this month. One would be right around the 17th, give or take a day, and then one would be right around the 22nd of the month, again, give or take a few days. The one towards the end of the month, 22nd through the 24th, 5th, right around there, that one looks to be a more widespread rainmaker, which, I mean, you're starting to really get into harvest, at least exception for corn probably, but don't want a lot of rain towards the end of the month, but we'll be keeping an eye on that one towards the end of the month.
Well, that one on the 17th, I hope it hits the 17th or 18th because we're in a golf tournament on the 16th. We don't need it to be wet on the 16th. You already spotted that.
I'm well aware of that. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, oh, man.
Because, I mean, gets cooler and then you get wet and that's no fun.
I mean
it'll still be fun because
it doesn't golfing. We make fun.
Yes, we do.
It doesn't matter what the situation is, we will make fun out of it.
Yes, we will. It is 6:38. We're going to check out your national news from ABC, then head to the American Ag Network. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY radio sports. We do have a gift certificate to give away to Great Harvest Bread Company. If you want to win that, be caller number 4 right now, 701-293-9000. 6:43, time now for a check on your WDAY radio sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Last night, MSUM, the Dragon football squad, they were defeated in their home opener. It was spoiled by Wayne State, 44-17 in that one. Gage Florence had 114 yards receiving to lead the offense. You also had a receiving touchdown each from Brady Perryman and Finn Ridgeway. The Dragons will head off to Minnesota Duluth next Saturday, September 14th, to battle the preseason favorite Bulldogs. On the diamond last night, the Minnesota Twins defeating the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 to split that four-game series as Pablo Lopez went 6 2/3 innings, striking out 9 batters, earning the victory. Edward Julian had a 3-run home run. Matt Wallner with a solo shot, needing every bit of those two long balls to get the victory. Twins now head off to Kansas City to battle a division foe in the Royals. First pitch for tonight's matchup will be at 7:10 with Zebby Matthews on the mound for Minnesota. Cole Reagans will counter for the Royals. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks will return home to Newman Outdoor Field tonight for Game 2 of their West Division opening round series against the Sioux City Explorers. First pitch at 6:30. Redhawks currently leading that best-of-three series 1-0. If the Redhawks win tonight, they advance to the West Division Championship Series. If the Explorers win tonight, a decisive Game 3 would be played on Saturday evening at Newman Outdoor Field. First pitch would be for 6:30 on that one as well. Tonight, Spud Football returns home to the friendly confines as they host Rogers in their home opener, kickoff at 7 o'clock. If you want to tune in to it, if you can't make it in person, Larry Knutson will be on the call right here on WDAY Radio. As for our sister station, The Flag, an 11-3A state championship rematch in North Dakota between the Shanley Deacons and the Minot Magicians, Jace and I will be on the call for that. 7 p.m. is kickoff of that matchup. We'll be going live right about then. And you're going to have Vikings football return on Sunday. Noon kickoff at the New York Football Giants with game coverage available on Fox. It's the Vikings. I don't know what we're supposed to expect this year. 6 wins, 10 wins.
I don't
know
if we're supposed to be excited or not. I'm just like, I mean, I'll start watching it.
Maybe, we'll maybe see. Not. Maybe yeah. So. We're seeing. Ugh, all right, maybe. And then I believe you're heading off to Pebble Lake, aren't you?
Yeah, Logan and I, it's his birthday today, so we're going to go hit up Pebble Lake Golf Club.
Yeah, so if you're looking to get a tee time here the last handful of weeks of the season, just go to playpebblelake.com, and you'll be able to get yourself some passes there, get yourself a tee time, and go and enjoy that course. I have to imagine that you're going to start seeing some changing of scenery while you're golfing there in the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, we were up north last weekend. Leaves, some are just starting to change. There's not a whole lot. But in the next couple of weeks, if you like to look at the pretty leaves.
Yeah. We're going to Duluth just a couple weeks early, but I'd rather go to Duluth in September than November.
I hear you. I don't blame you.
It's a beautiful, beautiful area, but somebody thought it would be a good idea to put a campus a mile and a half up a hill at a 45-degree angle, and that entire city just turns into an ice block in the winter with that wind off of Lake Superior. People think, oh, it's so great to live. Yeah, that's until your car's in park and it's sliding down the road.
Yep.
By the way, you parked it last night. So, yeah, that's it's a great place to be. You can tell, you know, who's a local and who's a tourist because the locals in the winter, they have to have at least one wheel parked on the grass. Otherwise, they're just going to slide right downhill.
Yep. Yeah.
Duluth is great like 5 months out of the year.
It's funny. I was actually...
Four months? So.
No, that's exactly... I was talking with Ryan of Dave's West Fargo Tire yesterday. And that's exactly what he said, too. He goes, yeah, it's a great place to be in the fall and the spring.
Yeah.
It's about 5-6 months out of the year. You just don't want to be anywhere near it.
Yep. It's cold, windy. Yeah.
The funny part about Duluth is that we found out, too, that they're having their Oktoberfest next weekend just Ooh. Because they want to have it earlier because the weather gets bad up there up north at the end of September.
Curious how that'll go. I know quite a few of the parents were heading up Friday to begin with. So, we might have a bunch of IV bags on the sideline on Saturday. It won't be for the team.
One of them said that they might not make it to the lighthouse to go have their picture taken there. So,
should be a fun time though, and hopefully the weather is great. Don't forget 8:10 this morning. Our pick six brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ram Jack North. First pick of the season. We want you to get involved. Winner gets a lovely gift card to a fine business here in town. 6:48. It was on this date in entertainment history. This band had to pay $1 million after their pyrotechnic show went wrong. People died. We'll tell you who it is in Music Flashback. That comes up about 6:56. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1970. This singer and famous musician made his final live appearance. Find out who it was coming up next in Music Flashback. What's this song about, Bonnie?
You know.
1970. Jimi Hendrix made his final live appearance when he played at a concert hall in Germany. He died 12 days later of barbiturate-related asphyxia. He was just 27.
Yeah, although his mainstream career only spanned 4 years, Hendrix is widely regarded as one of the most celebrated musicians of the 20th century. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame describes him as the greatest instrumentalist in the history of rock music.
1975. Glenn Campbell started a 2-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Rhinestone Cowboy. It was his first number one after 13 top 40 hits.
The record received 3 Grammy nominations and was the Country Music Association's Song of the Year for 1976.
1976, just as Bonnie was mentioning. Fleetwood Mac went to number one on the U.S. album chart for their first time with their album Fleetwood Mac. Go Your Own Way reached number 10 on the Billboard charts. It was the band's first top 10 hit.
Rolling Stone puts a song at 120 on its list of 500 greatest songs of all time, and it's on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list of 500 songs that shaped rock and roll.
1986, the all-girl group Bananarama went to number one on the U.S. singles chart with Venus.
The song was also a number one hit for the Dutch group Shocking Blue back in 1970.
Shocking. In 2008, Great White, whose pyrotechnics sparked a fire that killed 100 people, agreed to pay $1 million to survivors and victims' relatives. The blaze began in a nightclub in Rhode Island in 2003 when the band's tour manager shot off pyrotechnics at the start of the concert.
It was awful. More than 200 people were hurt. Band member guitarist Ty Longley was also killed. The tour manager pleaded guilty to 100 counts of involuntary manslaughter, was given parole after serving less than half of his 4-year sentence.
I believe just recently in a Music Flashback, the lead singer Jack Russell has passed away as well.
Oh, okay.
Having a birthday today, Nina Persson, singer with Swedish rock band The Cardigans, is 50. Is this rock? It's more pop. Love Fool hit number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 Airplay chart in 1997. The song was included in the soundtrack to the 1996 film Romeo and Juliet.
It's a cool song. I like it. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. Logan, happy birthday. He does listen to our show.
Oh, mommy loves you very much, Logan.
He knows that.
Yogi Bear.
Oh, gosh, don't do
that. My little Yogi Bear.
Oh, you're going to embarrass him if he's listening. He does.
I hope
he does listen to us a lot. He loves listening.
Little Yogi Bear, happy birthday. Well, how old is he now? Is he 20?
He's 22 today.
22.
Yeah, but he loves listening to Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, when he's on with us.
That's because young Logan is a master with his money. He wants to invest it wisely.
Yes, he likes money, and he does. He's very smart with his money, and he loves Brian. Congratulations, Sharon S. She won the Great Harvest Bread Company gift certificate we gave away earlier this morning. Steve Carney Outdoors, joining us in 10 minutes. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update, which is brought to you by Summit Carbon Solutions. Visit summitcarbonsolutions.com to learn how this project is creating more economic opportunities for ethanol producers and strengthening the market for corn growers in North Dakota. North Dakota Attorney General's office releasing more than 6,000 emails that were at one time thought to be lost after a staff member, the late Attorney General Wayne Stengem, asked the state's IT department to delete emails after Stengem's death. WDAY Radio is following this story. A woman in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to a report of vandalism and a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun, the standoff lasting roughly 30 minutes, a suspect not identified at this time. City of West Fargo says they're not interested in purchasing the Shea West Garden Center building or property. Rumors of the city wanting to buy it have been to bubble, began to bubble over the last several months, while the owner of Shea West Garden Center in the city have been in a stalemate on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The statement follows the closure of Shea West, who cited the lack of cooperation with the city as a key reason they shuttered their doors. City of Fargo is seeing an increase in their homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Alfelt says the thought that homeless people are the cause for an increase in crime in the city is not necessarily accurate. He says when you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else is. Some citizens are expressing not feeling safe in the downtown area of Fargo. Alfelt says it's reasonable to feel the downtown is safe, though. However, he does add that population growth can bring crime in some cases. Concordia College receiving a $20 million donation to the Offutt School of Business.
Truly a great day to be a Cobber. There's so much energy and so much hope, and this is, as you would expect, Steve, just an extraordinary investment in what we're doing and what we hope to do at the school generally, but also, of course, in the Offutt School of Business.
Concordia College President Colin Irvin says the donor is anonymous. Dr. Irvin says this will allow Concordia to offer an MBA program, which they currently do not. Researchers from UND's Energy and Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involving injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosens up the hard-to-reach oil. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period. And the Minnesota Department of Transportation reminding Minnesotans about the rules regarding political signs near streets and highways. State law prohibits the placement of political signs along the highway, right-of-way, including driving lanes, shoulders, ditches, and intersections. Displays of flags and other signs on bridges over traffic also is prohibited. Signs cannot be placed on private property without the owner's consent. State law also prohibiting placing advertising on utility poles, trees, and shrubs, as well as painting or drawing on rocks and other natural features.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
7:04, weekend weather, looking pretty good. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, a lot of, you know, so many festivals and stuff going on this weekend. I mean,
football games, tailgating.
Yeah,
there's a lot of community festivals.
Bean Days, out in Moorhead, there's some stuff going on. Just tons of stuff. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, Mother Nature is cooperating 100% this weekend. It's about time. Now, this morning, there is some rain. There's a little upper-level disturbance diving in out of Canada that's giving some light rain shower activity, stretching from about Thief River through the DL area. That's moving southwards, so away from the area. But yeah, still could see some morning showers in Lakes Country. The rest of us will have partly cloudy skies. Currently, we're right around the 50-degree mark to the upper 40s in the Moorhead and Yulin areas. And we'll warm it up today to about 70. I think Lakes Country will be held in the 60s as well as the Northern Valley with a north wind about 5 to 10. So not a bad day. Clear skies tonight. It's going to be a chilly one with lows in the mid 40s. That's good snuggling weather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. South winds about 5 to 10.
Snuggle with Ronnie.
Oh, thanks, Mon. Wow.
Well, you Ronnie, really had you to go there. Be together.
Yeah, well, there better be two queens in that hotel room. That's all I know. We're looking at a beautiful weekend then. With highs in the low 70s Saturday, low 80s on Sunday, with winds out of the south both days about 5 to 15. Then we warm up into the mid-80s as we start off next week. So summer weather, mid-upper 80s by the end of next week, it looks like. So some pretty nice weather heading our way. Not much rain in the forecast outside of this morning in Lakes Country a little bit. Looks pretty dry. Looks pretty dry for the next week or so.
Keep it coming because we know what's coming after. Hopefully September's lovely. Hopefully October's mild. Maybe November.
Boy, you're really stretching it, aren't you? You keep hoping.
If I was in charge of the weather, if I was Mother Nature,
you're
give the people what they want.
Yeah, right. Well, now you should run. Now you should be a politician.
No, thank you. Yeah. Nope. Hard pass on that. Oh. Dean's Weather This Hour has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. It is 7:06. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty is in with your WDAY Radio Sports. Don't forget, 8:10 this morning, our first pick six of the season. We want you guys to get involved in that. Winner gets a gift card to a fine establishment here in town. And then Steve Carney Outdoors joins us coming up right around 7:10 this morning. Some early seasons for birds have already started. We'll talk about the goose opener, dove opener, and early teal season with Steve Carney. 7:10, Steve Carney Outdoors standing by. He's going to join us shortly. First of all, we want to get you updated in your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
I think the most important thing is that off air we asked Steve where the best bird spots are this fall, because last fall was rough.
Well, for you especially. You didn't do so well.
The coffee and naps really start to put a damper on the success of my trips. I'll put it that way.
It happens.
Hey, on the diamond last night, Twins end up edging out the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3. They split that four-game series. Edward Julian hit a three-run homer. Matt Wallner a solo shot. Twins are going to remain on the road this weekend. This time they're heading to the Midwest, though. Battle the Kansas City Royals, a divisional foe. It'll be first pitch tonight at 7:10. One of the rookie starters for the Twins, Zebby Matthews, gets the nod. Now to Fargo, the Red Hawks at Newman Outdoor Field. Game 2, the West Division opening round series tonight against the Sioux City Explorers. First pitch is at 6:30. Red Hawks lead that best-of-three series 1-0. If the Red Hawks win tonight, they punch their ticket to the West Division Championship Series. If the Explorers win tonight, a decisive Game 3 would be at Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow at 6:30. So lots on the line in tonight's matchup between the Red Hawks and Explorers. Tonight on WDAY Radio, Moorhead Spud Football as they host Rogers, the Royals. 7 o'clock kickoff, Larry Knudsen on the play-by-play call right here on WDAY Radio. And on the flip side, our sister station, The Flag, we have an 11-3A state championship rematch in North Dakota between the Shanley Deacons and Minot Magicians. Join Jason and I on the call for that. Kickoff at 7 p.m. Basically, what I like to do, you just bop whenever there's a commercial break. Bop, bop, bada, 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 bop, 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 bop to each of those two broadcasts. Or if, you know, there's a couple of three and outs, you just switch for a second to see. And then you bop back because they're going to be two great high school football games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we archive the games for, too. So you can just listen back on Saturday morning.
There you go. Good point. All right. Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:12, Steve Carney Outdoors is joining us now. He is brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail, an independent family-run shop that makes it ridiculously easy to do business with. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys.
Looks like some good weather, at least the next couple days, and it looks like maybe it was decent weather, too. We had some early bird seasons that have opened up on the Minnesota side.
Yep, everything opened up about a week ago, and the early teal season is thankfully over. I'm glad that's done. And the youth season is this weekend, and then the 21st will be the opening of the duck season on the 21st. And I'm looking forward to next week for the bow opener. Oh, I can't wait for that. That's going to be awesome. The cool mornings and the cool evenings, it's going to be great. And deer numbers look good. I'm going to spend some time checking stands this week and, you know, cutting shooting lanes. You know, a lot of these shooting lanes last year, with all this foliage and the growth and everything, people are going to be really surprised that, you know, you better get out, you know, ahead of time and make sure you, you know, trim branches and do what you have to do, because a lot of that has changed. You know, we had so much rain and things are, you know, really different, you know, compared to last year.
You're a woods hunter versus a field hunter, Steve, or do you do a little bit of both depending on whether you're doing bow or gun?
Yeah, that's a good point, Bonnie. You know, when you're, you know, on the edge of a field, it's a little bit more difficult with a bow to determine distances and Sometimes, you know, you can be off 4 or 5 or 6 yards because you're not sure what the distance is, but what you want to do is pre-mark the area in front of you. If you're on an open field, just take a few small stakes, go out and use your laser rangefinder and set one at 15, set one at 25, so you have that little marker there so you know exactly how far you are. But I prefer to be in the woods to try to keep, you know, most of my shots within 20 yards and, you know, work neck down areas and, you know, have spots that I know when they, you know, come by, I know what the distance is. And that's really the most important, you know, part about bow hunting is knowing your distances.
Ideally, okay, so whether we're talking, I guess, birds here, first of all, is this good weather? I know Dean said something about heating up into the 80s next week, potentially even up the upper 80s. Is that good weather for bird hunting?
Yeah, it's going to be okay. I mean, I'd rather have, you know, the heat than cool, because if we get some of these nights in the 30s, a lot of the early migrants like wood ducks and teal and even doves are going to, you know, they're going to take off and go south, and it doesn't take much to push them, you know, out of the state. So, you know, that's fine. It just makes it a little more uncomfortable in the field because the mosquitoes are, you know, really active when it's hot like that. And, you know, it makes it a bit more uncomfortable, and you've got to make sure you hydrate. And but, you know, it is the way it is. But I'd much prefer the heat, and we'll get the cold. You know, that'll be coming in, you know, 3-4 weeks, and, you know, we deal with that. But, yeah, you just kind of, you know, roll with whatever Mother Nature throws at you.
I tend to think of, like, duck season, cold, damp, drizzly, but that's not ideally what the hunter wants. Is that just the way it ends up a lot of times, or is that good for the ducks?
Oh, you never know. You know, wind is really the big factor. You know, that really determines, you know, how you set your decoys and, you know, what side of the lake or slough you're going to be on. And wind, you know, keeps those birds low, and that's what I like. And anything 15 to 25 miles an hour, those birds are not up high. They're, you know, trying to come down low and seek shelter. And, you know, duck hunting can be so much better in the wind. And, you know, many times you have what we call the bluebird days, where it's dead calm, sunny, and, you know, there just is not a lot of movement when you have, you know, no wind. So wind is good, not for fishing, but it's good for duck hunting for sure.
And for deer hunting, too, you usually don't want it too warm either, and because you have to, you know, you got to get that deer taken care of, gutted and cleaned out and stuff taken care of. And if it's too hot, the meat can spoil, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to get on that right away at this time of the year. You know, speaking of wind, Bonnie, you know, I'm very wary of what the wind is doing when I'm bow hunting. Now, deer really do not like to move if the wind is in excess of 15 miles an hour, because their hearing is really acute and, you know, one of their best defenses. And when you have a lot of wind, they really can't hear very well. So they'll stay bedded, you know, maybe till after dark, and they just don't move, you know, with wind. So if I see, you know, a 20 mile an hour wind, I'll just skip it and I'll go the next day. And you can almost bank on that. When you have wind, they're very nervous and they really don't like moving in the wind. So calm, you know, is good for deer, and wind is good for ducks. How's that?
There you go.
Well, and then, of course, obviously, I guess the one, you know, minor thing maybe that I actually know about hunting, Steve, is that you're going to want to be downwind from what you're tracking and trying to hunt. So, I mean, is that going to – you talk about cutting your sight lines and lanes for shooting. I mean, is that going to – are you going to have to basically do a 360-degree area so that you can, you know, set up on one side versus the other depending on which way the wind shifts?
That's a good point. You know, the key is really to have many options. You know, you try to have as many stands out as you can, and then you play the wind and pick the stand which would give you the best advantage. You just can't get in the same stand, you know, all the time. And, you know, the bad part about that is you're scenting up the area, and you're what's called over-hunting that spot. And if you're in there on the same stand a lot, those deer are going to be very wise to that scent, and they're going to avoid the area. So the best thing you can do is hop from stand to stand, have, you know, a bunch of options, and then play the wind properly. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are big believers in scent-free clothing and, you know, sprays and all that. And I don't go for that at all. It's really all about the wind and using the wind to your advantage. But, you know, as far as, you know, scent and all that, I leave my clothes out on the deck or on the fence line and, you know, let them sit out there for 2, 3, 4 days, let the wind, you know, take its toll on it, and let, you know, rain, everything you can do to make that, you know, clothing smell like earth smell, and mm-hmm. that helps a lot too. So between that, playing the wind, they're really the two most critical things.
When it comes to scent, though, now that you mentioned that with the clothes and leaving them out there for 2, 3, 4 days, is it more important about the clothes having no scent, or what about, you know, your person? Because a lot of people, you know, it's just force of habit, get up, put on some type of body spray or powder, some deodorant, etc., just because you don't want to be sweating. So which is more important, the clothing with no smell or the person with having limited scents on them?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I'm a believer in absolutely nothing. I don't want any deodorant, anything that smells, any, you know, hairspray, perfume that women would wear, you know, out in the field. Really, you don't want anything at all. And I think the clothing will help mask a lot of your human scent, mm-hmm. and that helps. And then being up high, you know, helps too. But, yeah, you really want to, you know, really be careful about that because, you know, even our breath, you know, they can, you know, sense that, they can smell that. There's so many ways that you can, you know, get busted, and, you know, scent is huge.
Well, that means on an average day, I'm probably not good to bring along for deer hunting.
Jason and I are always chewing gum. I wear hairspray and cologne and deodorant. You don't want either of us with you.
Stay away from the garlic. Halitosis is very bad.
And so now what are you going to be chasing this weekend? You're going dove hunting or what?
Yep, I'm going to be out on the North Dakota-South Dakota border chasing doves the next couple of days. I've got a wheat field located there, and so there's no reason they should be gone. It's been a pretty, you know, warm week, and hopefully they'll still be hanging around. And, you know, if they're not in that field, I'm going to have to go knock on a few doors and find them somewhere else. And, you know, that's what's so fun about this time of the year. It's just a challenge to find them and knock on a couple of doors. People are always, you know, in the Dakotas, they're just wonderful. They're, you know, just, you know, really nice to talk to. And, you know, you can get on dove hunting, you know, quite easily. You know, the deer and the pheasants, that's a different deal. But for doves, they're just very gracious. And, you know, I really appreciate that.
That's awesome. And like you said, the big thing is knock on the door and ask permission. All right. Good luck. We want some good reports from you coming up next Friday. Okay.
Absolutely. And then that'll be the night before bow hunting. So it'll be zero sleep.
Well, that'll be fun listening to you with no sleep. All righty. Have a great weekend, Steve.
All right. You guys take care. Thanks.
You bet. Steve Carney Outdoors. He's always in a hurry. He always hangs up. And I'm usually quick on the draw, but he always beats me on that. Steve's been brought to you by AutoFix and OtterTail, an independent family-run shop. They make it ridiculously easy to do business with. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. It's 7:22. When the time comes to care for a loved one at the end of their journey, it can be overwhelming. Hospice care is here to help. Hospice of the Red River Valley provides comfort, dignity, and peace for patients and their families.
Their dedicated team of nurses, doctors, and counselors are by your side, offering expert medical care and emotional support tailored to your needs. Let them help you focus on what matters most, spending meaningful moments together. Learn more at hrrv.org, Hospice of the Red River Valley, dedicated to making each moment matter.
Farmers feeding people for less than 50 cents. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel has details straight ahead. 7:23, WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is joining us now. Good morning to you, Bridget.
Good morning. Hopefully all is well right over there.
I'm guessing you're cooking up food that you have your menu ready for tailgating tomorrow, knowing you.
I do indeed.
What are you making?
Go on.
Well, there'll be sliders, so I've got all the prep done for those. Looks like I have an afternoon of making some deviled eggs, and
yum.
I hear that I'm not in charge of the peach pie, but I do believe it will be arriving.
Peach pie. My goodness. Wow.
Oh, yeah. If you're going to have a picnic, there better be a pie.
Yeah. That's true. The tailgating menus are pretty impressive. Well, good for you. It looks like a lovely day, too, for a bison game, for the tailgaters anyway.
It really does. And, you know, that leads to the fact that it was a really nice day down in South Dakota last weekend for the South Dakota State Fair in Huron. And one of the things that the Farmers Union down there does is since 2007, they host a meal where the price that you pay is based on the amount that farmers receive in total for the meal. So for a pulled pork, baked bean, chips type meal at the State Fair, you could buy it for 48 cents, because 48 cents is the amount that farmers receive for what the ingredients are in that meal. So that's an eye-opening little event.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
What they then do with the proceeds is that moves on to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So all of that gets donated as well. So pretty impressive when you think about how little that dollar amount is that then reflects back on the actual farmer who produced it. But then also the fact that South Dakota Farmers Union wants to highlight that, and then they make sure those proceeds go on to Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Well, good for them. That is super interesting, though.
It is. It's a little frightening in many ways.
True.
But 48 cents on a full plate of food.
Mm-hmm. Whew,
yikes. Mm-hmm. Now, farmers in Clay and Wilkin counties are once again making sure that they show their support for Farm Rescue. What they have done is combine their efforts. Again, this is the soy and the corn growers in Clay and Wilkin County, and they bought two sets of soy-based Goodyear Wrangler Workhorse tires that they have donated to Farm Rescue to put on their fleet vehicles. Aww. So it's one way to keep Farm Rescue going down the road doing the good that they in fact do, but then also to just incorporate what happens locally when it comes to our corn and soybean associations. They do a fabulous job there.
Yeah, they do. And good for you for highlighting those good things that are going on too, because, you know, they don't like to brag about things ever. So I'm glad that you're here to brag them up.
Well, Friday is a day for us to share good news as much as we possibly can. And one of the things I brought back from Iowa last week was the after stopping at the Farm Rescue booth, they gave me a hat that has a highlights Busch Light, because remember the corn cans that get sold throughout the summer, the proceeds from that also goes to Farm Rescue. So they wanted to do a co-promotion. What I then did is I took the hat to a good friend. He goes on YouTube, he goes by the name Quick Dick McDick. He's a farmer from Saskatchewan who's got a great presence, talks about farming in ways that all of us can understand. But then he also is a bit tongue-in-cheek about politics in Canada, etc. So Quick Dick signed the cap. We're going to figure out a way to use that in a promotion here in the next week or so that we can give it away and take those proceeds and also move them to Farm Rescue, because we want to help whenever we can.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So last thing to think about, though, this might not be quite as much as one that puts a smile on your face, but it's going to make you think. We've seen farmland prices across the country increase, even though we've seen a number of ag producers decline. So we have less farmers, but we still have high prices being paid on farmland. The average value of American farmland actually grew about 23% from 2017 to 2022. So who's buying it? If rural populations are declining, who actually wants all this farmland? Well, foreign-owned companies, there's that discussion, whereas we know that the country with the highest foreign land ownership in the U.S. is actually Canada. But then roughly a third of all the farming operations that generate $500,000 in sales or more are owned by investment firms.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yeah.
Also, you have a lot of out-of-state interests that want to buy farmland because they use it for hunting as part of the year. Then they will lease or rent the land out to be used. There's a lot of other reasons why people want to own farmland, and it's not always the ones that you think about.
Yeah, it seems as though that it's becoming more and more prevalent, I guess you'd say, that some people are buying farmland more as an investment strategy as opposed to anything. Because like you said, you can point it out that they can go hunting on it, obviously rent it out to local farmers to farm it and obviously keep that ground and that acreage active. But other entities that just basically they buy up the farms around here and then just either it becomes a corporate type of farm or they're just buying it for their portfolios, you know?
A lot of it for portfolios. You know, if you have lived on the coasts, there was a time during the pandemic where people really wanted to get out of California and other coastal states because of the value of their properties. They had so many dollars. They came into the central part of the U.S. and bought farmland. And they don't necessarily want to farm it, but they want to own it because of the ROI on it.
Yeah.
And so they're renting it back out, but they're paying top dollar in order to have that. And as you said, Jace, make it part of their portfolios.
Yep.
Something to keep in mind. If you have questions about that and so much more, you can go ahead and send me an email, ag@flagfamily.com. You'll find me on X at BM Riedel and join me today from 1 to 2 o'clock on Weather and Ag in Focus. We're going to be joined by JJ Alley. JJ is a saddle bronc rider, but he's also a banker. Usually those two things don't go together.
Yeah.
But we're going to visit with JJ about how and why they do, and we'll learn so much more from him then. So join us from 1 to 2 o'clock today.
And if anybody has any questions or show ideas for you, how do they get in touch with you, Bridget?
ag@flagfamily.com. You'll find me there for an email. Today I'll be over on X. I'm hosting the Nooner Chat at 11:30. You can catch me there as well.
All right. Have a great weekend. Go Bison, Bridget.
Thank you. Go Bison.
You bet. And don't forget, our pick six starts at 8:10 this morning, brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North at 7:30.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. A Fargo man who crashed into a house last Sunday facing a DUI charge. Police say 28-year-old Tam Nguyen veered off the road on 5th Street South, striking a light pole, a tree, a rain barrel, then smashing into the front of the home. The man then reportedly tried to drive away, but his car was too damaged to move. Police say he admitted to drinking before the crash, and his blood alcohol level was reportedly over the legal limit. Nobody was injured in the crash. A woman is in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to a report of vandalism and a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun. The standoff lasting roughly 30 minutes. The suspect not identified at this time. A Wahpeton man facing a felony charge after he allegedly threatened a woman with a gun earlier this year. Happening on July 3rd at Morton Pond, the victim says a man got out of a van pointing a gun at her and her two dogs. She also says she heard a gun click before the man left. The investigation led to Randall Bell facing one felony count of reckless endangerment. He's now due in court on September 9th. City of West Fargo says they're not interested in purchasing the Shea West Garden Center property or location. Rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble over the last several months. The owner of Shea West Garden Center and the city have been in a stalemate on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The statement follows the temporary closure, at least, of Shea West, citing a lack of cooperation with the city as a key reason they're shuttering their doors in the city of West Fargo. North Dakota Attorney General's office releasing more than 6,000 emails that were at one time thought to be lost after a staff member of the late Attorney General Wayne Stengem asked for the state's IT department to delete his emails after he died. Currently looking through the emails. Stay with us as more details become available. Concordia College receiving a $20 million donation to the Offutt School of Business.
Truly a great day to be a Cobber. There's so much energy and so much hope, and this is, as you would expect, Steve, just an extraordinary investment in what we're doing and what we hope to do at the school generally, but also, of course, in the Offutt School of Business.
Concordia College President Colin Irvin says the donor is anonymous. Dr. Irvin says this will allow Concordia to offer an MBA program, which they currently do not. Researchers from UND's Energy and Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involving injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosens up hard-to-reach oil. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period.
First with the news when you need to know, WDAYRadioNow.com.
7:33, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And a pretty quiet start to the morning here on this Friday. And there's a few light showers on radar stretching from Thief River through about Wadena, moving southward. So Lakes Country getting a little bit of light rain this morning as a little upper-level wave dives out of Canada. That is going to reinforce the cool air today. Winds won't be as strong with a partly cloudy skies, not as windy, with highs in the 60s in Lakes Country and in the Northern Valley to around 70 from the FM area westward, with north winds about 5 to 10. Not a bad day. For tonight, clear skies, a little cool with lows in the mid-40s. We'll have south winds at 5 to 10. So a cool start to your tailgate on Saturday, but things will warm up, and it looks like a pretty nice weekend. Plenty of sunshine, winds out of the south both Saturday, Sunday, about 5 to 15, highs in the low 70s Saturday, low 80s on Sunday, and mid-80s to start off next week. Who doesn't like the mid-80s? Oh, man, I remember those days well.
I was just getting into high school.
Oh, the 80s were great.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Dino. Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated for over 40 years with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:35. We've got a quick check of your national news. When we come back, we got a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then Dean returns for your 3-degree guarantee where he's going to mail it in and get it wrong.
Probably, because he's leaving for
exactly. He's a whatever.
We'll see. 7:38, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Yesterday afternoon, the Minnesota Twins sneaking by the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 to split that four-game midweek series. They now head to Kansas City to battle the Royals in a really a pivotal series here in the middle. Well, I guess we're early September, aren't we? What's it, the 6th today? 6th? 6th?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So it's early September. This feels like mid-November to me, I guess. I don't know what's going on. Sleep is optional, guys. That's what I'm learning. 7:10's first pitch. Zebby Matthews on the mountain for Minnesota. Red Hawks return home to Newman Outdoor Field Game 2 of their West Division opening round series as they square off with the Sioux City Explorers. Red Hawks lead that best-of-three series 1-0. Thing you need to know about this game tonight, if the Red Hawks win, they punch their ticket to the West Division Championship Series. If the Explorers win, a decisive Game 3 would be played at Newman Outdoor Field tomorrow evening at 6:30. That would make things interesting up in North Fargo with a 2:30 kickoff tomorrow of Bison football. Mm-hmm. Telling you what, that campus of NDSU could really, really be bumping depending on how tonight's game goes. I think it will be regardless.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
people are in a good mood. It's the first games of the season. The weather's nice.
Yeah, it's our last Saturday off, Jace, of the fall, but yeah. It may be a field research kind of Saturday, if you get my rift.
Bridget's making deviled eggs if you need to go
deviled
up
eggs.
To
the Oh, okay,
issue.
All right.
What else? Oh, sliders, deviled eggs, and somebody's sliders. Making peach pie.
She's peach making pie. Peach pie.
Somebody. She's making no, peach pie?
She said somebody. Somebody in her group.
I think it was she, because she said she has to make peach pie.
Moral of the story is sports@flagfamily.com. If you want us to attend your tailgate tomorrow, we will swing by. How about that?
Yeah.
2:30 is kickoff against Tennessee State. That's the home opener for Bison football. Some great games. We're going to get to it, of course, at the top of the hour. You have North Dakota, top 25 nationally ranked. They're hosting number 4 Montana, 6 o'clock tomorrow night at the Alaris Center as well. Gopher football gets Rhode Island. Till the Gophers learn how to play football, I'm not giving them any more of my money, so it's part of why I'll be at the Fargo Dome.
Oh, ouch.
Hey, there.
That's zing.
Wow.
Insert your
rough.
Your favorite adjective there. Put it that way, all right? Gophers, you guys are not making me happy. Gopher volleyball, though, they upset Texas.
Oh, did they?
A couple days ago. Number one team in the country, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, you know... At least we have
jump
a volleyball team.
Jump on Goldie
team.
Gopher's bandwagon, it's the volleyball team.
At least we have volleyball in Minnesota. I'll put it that way, all right? The maroon and gold is really struggling at the moment.
Huh.
Oh, man. Hey, tonight on WDAY Radio, we have Spud Football hosting Rogers, a 7 o'clock kickoff. Larry Knudsen, the call right here on WDAY Radio. And then Cobber football tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock as they host Wisconsin Eau Claire. Larry Knudsen, the call for that one as well. If you're going in person... you got to go to MSUM at Nemzik Stadium. If you go to Jake Christensen Field, you're probably going to be the only one there.
But you'll get great parking, though.
Yeah,
there
you will.
There might be signs up. Somebody might be there to let people know they're at the wrong place.
Yeah, no. So if you pull into Concordia's campus and you wonder where the tailgate is, it's at MSUM. Sounds weird, but it's true.
Yes, it is.
I'm not lying to you guys. I'm not just trying to convince you to go over to the east side of town, quote unquote, I suppose, right? Do they separate it like that, or is it just because they're in the same development, basically? I don't know.
I don't know.
They got like a rivalry like that still?
I think it's a friendly rivalry, probably.
Probably.
We can get along in Moorhead.
I enjoy Concordia.
Mm-hmm.
I had some buddies go over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a fun place.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Oh, yeah, tonight, our other station, the Flag. We got a 3A state championship rematch. Shanley Deacons square off with the Minot Magicians. 7 p.m. kickoff. Jason and I on the call for that one. I think I hit everything right there.
I think so.
Yeah. We'll talk about Dragon football as well. They kind of faltered a little bit. They fell short.
Yeah.
Tough one for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Sports This Hour brought to you by Valley Imports, Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
And next time you hear James, 8:10, he will have your pick six, the first one of the season. We want you guys to get involved in the six games he'll be serving up, and whoever gets the most picks right will win a fabulous gift card winner to be announced on Monday morning. 7:42, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:44, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right, Dean, let's mail this one in. You've only got one in a row. You don't have any in a row anyway. Did you get yesterday, right?
I was sweating it. Holy moly. Forecast at 68.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we made it up to 71.
Ooh.
Hey, well, you just made it.
Well, I was checking out early yesterday, it appears. Today is going to be a little bit, I don't want to call it tricky, but it's, again, it's going to depend on the cloud cover, but I think here in the FM area, we'll clear out enough to hit 70. Well, most areas are going to be stuck. I was going to go 69, but man, we hit 71 yesterday. I think we'll hit 70 today.
All right.
We'll hit 70 today. That's what we're going to go with north winds at 5 to 10, mid-40s tonight, and then low 70s Saturday, low 80s on Sunday. Looking great. Mm. Weekend looks phenomenal.
Nice.
A lot of outdoor activities this weekend, and the weather is going to cooperate 100%. So, again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 70.
On his getaway day,
he's
Dean's forecast, 70. So
my
it's going to be either 73, or 74. It's either going to be 66. Yeah. It's not going to be correct.
Track record isn't good on the day before.
Do not bet the mortgage on this one. Don't go near it. No. All right. Thank you, Dino.
You got it.
Ah, Bonnie.
I know. What are we going to do with it?
I don't know.
3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. It is 7:45. This guy is the reason why you do research before you adopt a pet. And we'll talk about it coming up next. We always have fun right here at WDAY Radio. Got a great crew. You hear the fun on the air. We have just as much fun behind the scenes, off the air.
Even in front of the scenes.
We like to hang out. Like Dean and Ronnie are hanging out. They're going tailgating down at the Nebraska
Bonnie and I
game.
Don't hang out, though.
No, you're afraid of me. Yes, I've come to some certain things that you and little Jimmy have been.
You've come to work things,
I get to be
Bonnie.
The third wheel because, you know.
We're a thing?
Yeah, you guys have been a thing longer than I became your third wheel, and now I'm always the third wheel with the two of you. But that's okay, but you have to share you have to share little Jimmy with me.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would give you, you know, hockey tickets when I come across them, but you just like, I got to be around people, so I don't want to go.
It's cold, too. It's like, I don't want to come out of my house. Once I get home for the day, the bra comes off, sweatpants are on. It's like, I don't want to have to go out in the wintertime. I'm busy, thank you very much.
My daughter wears her winter coat the entire time we're in the arena. If she can handle it, I'm sure you could.
Your daughter thinks I'm weird anyway. I met her that one.
I'm sure my daughter thinks everybody's weird.
That's fine. Maybe I'll come to a hockey
Dad.
Game. Why is she talking to me? All right. So when you're adopting a pet.
Yes.
You know, especially if it's a pet maybe that you haven't had before, you should do research, right? Like if you want a certain breed of dog, don't you? What are the good traits about it? Whether you Google it or you go to the library and research.
And, I mean, I double check because for the longest time, and it hasn't gone away. There's two dogs that I would really like to have: a husky or a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a weird story, but when we got Luna, we were going to the shelter down in Fergus to look at a husky German Shepherd mix. Unfortunately, he was not. It wasn't good with cats. It was only a year old instead of 2 years old. We wanted a little bit more of an older, not necessarily old dog. We wanted a dog that was house trained, that was kind of, you know, we didn't have to teach a puppy anything because it was the first dog I'd ever owned. So ended up with Luna, who's part St. Bernard and part German Shepherd. So she's a St. Shepherd because German Bernard sounds like a bad actor over there in Europe. But anyway. So I looked up, you know, German Shepherd, some of their qualities, some of their traits. Obviously, you look up the traits of retrievers and labs.
Maybe ask people who have that breed.
You do some research because you need to know if it's going to be the right type. And then, of course, you meet the pet to make sure that it jives with you. Because this first dog, this German Shepherd Husky mix, not for us. Didn't have any interest in us. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't going to be the right dog. Met the next dog, nah. Then we met Luna, and she was just all about us. She just was so loving and just was so excited to be around us. Her attention was on us rather than, I can get out of this kennel now and run wild, you know? So there was an instant connection. So we thought about it. We adopted her. But, we did our research. We met
homework.
The pet. Yeah.
Okay, so not just dogs and cats. Like
no.
Some people like reptiles. Some
yep.
people like
I'm not one
snakes.
Of them. Yep.
No, neither am I. I will run as fast as I can run in the other direction. But some people like snakes. So, okay, whatever. Some guy in New York got himself a Burmese python. Now, if you were to Google Burmese python, you will realize these things are massive. They can grow to be 16 feet long. huge.
Hard.
So this guy, I'm not even sure how big it was when he got it, but he said it ended up growing faster than he thought it was going to grow. So animal wildlife control officers confiscated this. He was growing it in a small tank. It was the one that he had was over 13 feet long. And he had it in a small tank that was only 4 to 5 feet.
Oh, so is there's
it was probably squished in there, poor thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it grew faster than I thought it was going to grow. Well, what did you think if you would have done your research? Exactly. You would have realized that Burmese pythons can grow to be 16 feet.
Well, number one, there's that. But number two, I mean, how much is he overfeeding it so that it is growing more? So it's kind of helping to speed up the growth there because you're feeding it maybe more often than you need to because you know nothing about a Burmese python? I mean, I have no idea.
And he's not the only guy with them. They say that there's a number of people that Burmese pythons have become popular pets even here in the United States. But for this guy, it was too much to handle. So he did call the right people, and thank goodness he just didn't let it loose. Ugh. He called conservation officers who took custody of it, and it's going to go to a Discovery Zoo in Rome, I guess. So they're going to send it overseas. But the guy, even though in the end he did the right thing, he got ticketed for possessing wildlife as a pet and for possessing dangerous wildlife without a permit.
Well, and
so even though they're popular, it doesn't mean you're supposed to have
them. Is it python or a different breed of snake where they have actually a season in Florida to go hunt them because they basically become an invasive species because there's just too many of them. There's thousands of them down in Florida. I forget which breed of snake it is. I want to say it was pythons. Or maybe it's that's not.
Yeah, it is. It's Burmese python.
Burmese pythons
in the Everglades.
Yeah, and so they have people allowed to go hunt them and get these really big ones. I can't remember how many they said that they got last year. I mean, like out of thousands, they might have had 200 at most, or maybe it was. Maybe it was like 20.
Yeah, they pay bounties. Like some states will pay bounties for gophers or something like that. And they're paying bounties not only on pythons, also boa constrictors and anacondas. Aren't anacondas even bigger? That's like Amazon forest.
My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hon.
I gotcha. Good lyrics from a song. But J. Thomas, deathly afraid of spiders. Snakes.
Yeah, snakes and reptiles. I mean, the lizards like the geckos and the chameleons and what's the other iguanas and stuff people have. I don't want one either. I don't want them crawling on me or anything, but they don't freak me out as much as a snake. A snake just, something about it just doesn't go with me. That's for sure.
My mom's deathly afraid. She screams when she sees him on TV. So I think
I told you the fastest I've ever moved was when I saw a snake when Dad moved this piece of plywood out by the burn barrels, and I was like,
I've seen enough in the woods and in the garden that I don't need to see anymore.
I almost like disappeared and went all of a sudden. I was in one spot and I reappeared in the garage. It was amazing.
I don't blame
you. I teleported.
754. If you're looking for a place to host your next event, check out Reed's Event Space over at Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar in Moorhead. Let Reed's Event Center host your next party, reunion, corporate gathering, whatever you have, they can take care of you. They feature an exquisite Mediterranean cuisine with local ingredients, fresh handmade pasta, and they have gluten-free options if you need that.
Yeah, and this you can have casual or formal events there. Reed's Event Center offers a unique and sophisticated experience. And oh, by the way, Christine, a chef and owner of Reese and Riley's Olive Oil and Bistro Bar and Reed's Event Center, she knows it's hard to eat on a busy schedule, let alone healthy. They also offer fresh home-cooked meals to go for pickup in their store, and they season with their own oils and vinegars, and they also help curb your cravings without compromising your time or healthy regime. So if you want to book a party, you can just simply call Reed's Event Center at 218-303-1279. Or you can swing by their location, check out the space, 935 37th Avenue South, Suite 120 in Moorhead. And you can also obviously pick up some of those meals to go. Or if you want to find out what they got going on there overall, just go to ReeseandRileys.com.
755, the feds are investigating frequent flyer programs of the top four U.S. airlines. We will tell you why coming up next in your Money and Markets. 7:57, checking out your money and markets. Wall Street closed yesterday with stocks mixed. It comes after new labor market data sent mixed signals about the status of the economy as investors wonder if the Federal Reserve is behind on cutting rates. Private payroll showed its weakest growth in 2021, although unemployment numbers dropped from the week prior. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 219 points, S&P 500 fell by 16, and the NASDAQ gained 43 points.
Oh, my retirement account, I tell you.
There's been a few down days this week.
Well, yeah, no, but it's kind of, I mean, not that I want to see it go down, but it's interesting to watch your account go up and down based on these numbers and how it affects it. The frequent flyer programs of the top four U.S. airlines are being investigated for unfair practices. The Department of Transportation said Thursday that it was launching a probe to make sure customers do not face deceptive or anti-competitive practices from the major carriers. Reuters says Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg sent letters to American, Delta, Southwest, and United Airlines ordering them to provide records and submit reports about their rewards programs.
Interesting. The owner of 7-Eleven is rejecting a takeover proposal by a Canadian convenience store company. The Japan-based 7&I Holdings has revealed in a new filing with the Tokyo Stock Exchange it's rejected a bid from a Canadian operator to acquire all outstanding shares of the company for just under $15 per share. Spokesperson for 7&I says the offer grossly undervalues the company. It's not in the best interest of its shareholders.
Interesting. Fewer Americans are applying for unemployment benefits. Numbers out Thursday from the Labor Department show 227,000 initial claims received in the week ending August 31st. That's a decrease of 5,000 from the week prior. It's also just about what most analysts were expecting.
All right. Wanted to let you guys know, too, we will be carrying that presidential debate next Tuesday right here on WDAY Radio. ABC's pre-debate coverage begins at 7. The debate is scheduled to begin at 8 o'clock, and our sister station, The Flag, will hold a watch party and debate coverage here at our studios if you want to hang out with them. And then afterwards on The Flag, we'll have coverage. Steve Hallstrom, Scott Hannon, and Jay Thomas will have post-debate coverage on our sister station, The Flag. Get ready for the pick six. Go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Big Game James McCarty has your pick six at 8:10. Brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8 o'clock.
I'm Ty Schoenert with your news update. North Dakota Attorney General's office releasing more than 6,000 emails that were at one time thought to be lost after a staff member of the late Attorney General Wayne Stengem asked the state's IT department to delete the emails after his death. We're currently learning more information, so stay with us as more details become available. A woman's in custody after a standoff with Wahpeton police Thursday night. Authorities say they first responded to a report of vandalism and a protection order violation, finding a woman who locked herself in a vehicle with a shotgun, the standoff lasting roughly 30 minutes. The suspect is not identified at this time. City of West Fargo says they're not interested in purchasing Shea West Garden Center. The rumors of the city wanting to buy the property have begun to bubble over the last several months. The owner of Shea West Garden Center in the city have said there's a stalemate on a number of issues, including traffic and parking. The statement follows the at least temporary closure of Shea West, citing a lack of cooperation within the city as a key reason why they shuttered their doors in the city of West Fargo. City of Fargo is seeing an increase in their homeless population, but Police Captain Bill Alfeld says the thought homeless people are the cause for an increase in crime across the city is not necessarily accurate, according to him. He says when you look at the numbers downtown, homeless people are contributing just as much as anyone else is. Some citizens expressing not feeling safe in the downtown area, Alfeld says it is reasonable to feel downtown is safe. However, he adds the population growth can bring crime in some cases. Concordia College receiving a $20 million donation to the Offutt School of Business.
Truly a great day to be a Cobber. There's so much energy and so much hope, and this is, as you would expect, Steve, just an extraordinary investment in what we're doing and what we hope to do at the school generally, but also, of course, in the Offutt School of Business.
Concordia College President Colin Irvine says the donor is anonymous. Dr. Irvine says this will allow Concordia to offer an MBA program, which they currently do not. Researchers from UND's Energy and Environmental Research Center say enhanced oil recovery technology could dramatically extend the Bakken oil boom. The technology involves injecting liquids or gases deep into the earth, which loosens up hard-to-reach soil. Experts say enhanced oil recovery would likely produce 1 billion barrels of oil over a 20-year period. and the Minnesota Department of Transportation reminding Minnesotans about the rules regarding political signs near streets and highways. State law prohibits the placement of political signs along the highway right-of-way, including driving lanes, shoulders, ditches, and intersections. Displays of flags and other signs on bridges over traffic also prohibited. Signs cannot be placed on private property without the owner's consent. State law also prohibits placing advertising on utility poles, trees, shrubs, as well as painting or drawing on rocks and other natural features.
First with the news when you need to know. WDAYRadioNow.com.
8:03, Chief Meteorologist Dee Maisaki is here now with a check on our weekend weather.
Yeah, still a little bit of shower activity in Lakes Country this morning. We've got sunshine here in the FM area to start off the day, and we'll see generally partly cloudy skies today. Those showers in Lakes Country will move southward, and we'll all have partly cloudy skies for this afternoon. Highs right around 70, although Lakes Country, Northern Valley, probably in the 60s today, with a north wind at 5 to 10. Clear skies, a little chilly tonight, mid-40s, light south winds, and south winds about 5 to 15 over the weekend with plenty of sunshine. Highs in the low 70s Saturday, low 80s on Sunday. Weekend looks absolutely ideal. Tailgating Saturday morning might be a little chilly, probably need a jacket. Unless you have enough antifreeze in you, and then
a lot of them will.
Then you won't really need a jacket, but it'll warm up nicely and throughout the morning hours. So weekend, it does look great. It doesn't get much better than this. A nice fall weekend and summer weather returns next week. So we're not quite done with summer yet. We're not kicking it to the curb, although I know Bonnie wants to.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Not quite yet.
All right, thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by Red Wing Shoes in Fargo. They've been designing footwear for more than 110 years, and they've been helping companies keep workers safe and productive in even the most hazardous conditions. Stop into Red Wing Shoes at 3003 Main Avenue in Fargo or check them out online at redwingshoes.com.
And for those of you interested, John letting us know that the Red River Regional Marksmanship Center, 7th Avenue Northwest Fargo, is hosting a gun show both tonight and tomorrow, 4 to 8 tonight. And 8 to 4 on Saturday.
And if you work here at the station, you get a gun show every day from Bonnie Amistadi.
From Jace. let me flex. Yeah, he's that kind of guy. 8:05 national news from ABC coming up. And then big game, James McCarty is in with your pick six. Go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Get ready for that. Or you can also check it out on the mobile app. It's about midway down the page. We want you to get involved. Fill out those picks. And then whoever gets the most right wins a gift card to a fantastic business. All right, national news, and then big game James McCarty is in. You guys know this song. We bring it back every season. It's our pick six song for our pick six competition, and we want you guys to get involved in it. And every Friday at 8:10 or a little before, James is like floating off somewhere. Big game James McCarty comes in with the pick six. Go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Bring it up on your computer or go to your mobile app.
It is brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, your number one pick when it comes to complete foundation repair. Let the team at Precision Concrete Cutters brighten up your basement with an egress window that'll let in light and provide a speedy escape route. Kidding. Don't let your basement hibernate this winter. It too deserves a little vitamin D and an exit plan. Precision Concrete Cutters, they'll turn basements from blah to ta-da. Visit PCCND.com.
Look at that, Jimmy. 8:10 on the nose. We just had to yell at you a few times to get in here.
I'm trying to figure out some stuff that's not working per usual.
Okay, we like to yell at you, so it's all good.
Are you trying to figure out the correct picks?
No, it's not that
at
all.
You can't win.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not going to pick the right ones. I'm sure not. All right, though. The six picks each and every week, and we'll have the indoor golf in Moorhead. We'll have a $20 gift card for that each week for the winner. So,
there you go.
You go to that WDAYRadioNow.com, click on that hot links tab. You should be able to get over to the pick six, and you'll be able to submit it there. Your six different games you have this week, first and foremost, it's NDSU against Tennessee State. All six games will be football-related here this week. So, Bison, Tennessee State. I think Coach Polisak gets his first victory. I think that they're going to win this game comfortably in the end. I mean, you're probably talking about a 20-point game, I think.
Really?
That's what I believe. Mm. I think it'll be right about there. I think it'll be somewhere in that, you know, that range of, you know, 41 to 21 or something like that. That's what I think. I mean, Maybe I missed something. I mean, I missed something last night in the Dragon game, too, keep in mind. So
make some noise, Bison fans.
Top 25 matchup up at the Alaris Center in Grand Forks, North Dakota, depending on what poll you look at, either 23 or 20 in the country. They host the number 4-ranked Montana Grizz. Grizz really struggled with Missouri State last week, who, as we know, going FBS and a squad that's a little bit more veteran-laden. Weird, weird things happen up north, though, for whatever reason. That place is just, it's weird for road teams. The home team plays better.
I'm going
Bubba and Company, UND.
I don't disagree with you there. I know that my alma mater, when they've gone up there in the last couple times, they have not fared well in the Alaris Center. I know last season NDSU went there. They lost up there as well. So it's I don't know what it is about that place, but Kevin Marshall talked with us the other day on our show, Primetime Sports, and he really pointed out that it's a home field advantage, not because of the atmosphere or the fans or anything. It's just that team plays so much better there.
For whatever reason, it's kind of wild. For game number 3 of the week, you have South Dakota State hosting Incarnate Word. They're going to be doing their festivities for the
raising the banner.
Yep, for their last national championship, back-to-back national champions. They lost their first game in 2 calendar years since they lost to Iowa. Now they lost to Oklahoma State. I don't think they lose 2 in a row. I think they really handle things with the Word, and I think that the Jackrabbits get and take care of business here. I think that this is a game where it could be competitive in the first half, but I really don't see Jimmy and Rogers and company messing around with this game. I think they win pretty comfortably.
Cool.
Game number 4 of the week, Gophers against Rhode Island, FBS versus FCS. Last time the Gopher quarterback, Max Brosmer, played against the squad, he threw for over 300 yards and 4 touchdowns.
But yet you're picking Rhode Island.
He lost in overtime.
So there's
that. The Gophers, if they don't win this game by 30, I'm telling you what, I'm packing up shop and I'm putting them in gold away, okay? The Gophers are going to boat race. Their tickets
by 30?
Tickets are going for $6.
Wow, come $6. On. Are you kidding?
$6 to go to the bank and watch the Gophers?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
You can't even get an appetizer that cheap to go to the bar, man.
That's true.
That's true.
Golly! Oh. Figure it out, PJ.
Hmm.
They're going to win by 30. And if they don't, I'm crying.
Yeah,
I'm going to cry.
They have to take care of business against the FCS opponent. They are a Big Ten school. They are one of the Power Four conferences. They have to take care
Although,
of business.
Although, the Big Ten, the newly revamped Big Ten with 18 teams in it, went 17-1 last week. Gophers are the only team to lose.
Well, they did lose to another Power Four school. So
they missed 2 field goals and they lost by 2. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
When does North Carolina have to go play in 50 degrees and rain?
I don't know.
Exactly. We should have had the advantage. We just can't kick, evidently. Reminds me of Blair Walsh at the same venue.
Yeah, that's right.
Because one was a 27-yarder that he missed, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we got a big dog matchup.
Oh, this
one
is difficult here.
Yeah, it's going to be number 3 Texas at number 10 Michigan.
Ooh.
Quinn Ewers looked real good against Colorado State, who I don't think is going to be anything special this year. They, you know, boat raced them, 52 rip last week. Michigan taking care of business. Their opening game of the season. It's in Michigan.
Yep,
it's going to be
Ann Arbor.
Yep, yeah. It's going to be interesting at the Big House, seeing how things go. But
well, who did Michigan?
I really think if Texas wants to say they're back, they got to win this one. I think Quinn Ewers and company. I know they lost Xavier Worthy, who had 2 touchdowns last night for the Chiefs and a couple things, but I'm going Texas. I like Texas in this one, but it's going to be interesting.
Who did Michigan beat last week? I mean, it wasn't as an impressive victory last week, and I believe it was
Fresno State, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
My
gut tells me to go with Texas in this one. I think it's going to be a tough game. It'll be tough for Texas to win on the road in Ann Arbor, but like you said, James, if Texas feels like they're a national championship contender, this is a game that they have to win. When Michigan has lost, obviously, some talent along that team after what was a national championship run last year.
Game number 6 of the week.
Yeah.
Which is also the tiebreaker, so you need a score.
Pick 6.
Oh,
let's
God.
Do it.
Girl, you guys are killing me.
Come on.
All right. Your pick 6 game of the week. Minnesota Vikings at the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Dimes. No Saquon Barkley.
Mm-mm.
The Vikings with Sam Darnold. He's been with the team for 4 months, and he's a captain. J.J. McCarthy is shelved. What's going to happen?
Exactly.
The Vikings.
You're hopeful.
The Vikings.
They're going to win. James, I mean,
13 to 10.
I'll tell you this right now.
You think it's going to be that low scoring?
The Giants have gotten into a couple of scrums and fights this
really?
Camp. In their own camp?
Danny Dimes is throwing some haymakers. Malik Nabers trying to fight half the Jets team in joint practices.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret this. Vikings 27-17.
Oh, that many points.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to compete, you got
to
score.
I will say, I would, if it were up to me, I would also pick the Vikings. I would
the
pick,
reason
I would
I'm
probably
saying that
pick a lower score.
I think that the Giants would be able to do some things, but I don't think that they're going to have much of a run game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vikings, I mean, it doesn't matter who you have at quarterback. I know TJ Hockenson's out, but with Aaron Jones being healthy in week one, having JJ, having Jordan Addison, you have to be able to do something with that. I know that Addison was on the injury report, but he said he's playing. I believe him.
Okay, so you're saying 27-17. I'm just going to put this out there for folks that I'm going to want the tiebreaker to win the pick six week one. You say 27-17. That would be, by my count, 44 points.
What's the over-under?
And 44 points and the Vikings winning by 10.
Yeah.
The over-under is 41. So you're picking the over, which I'm not confident in, James. And then they've got Minnesota by a point and a half. And you're picking them by 10.
James is wrong a lot. Do you pay attention to the pick six over the years?
I'm wrong a lot, too, so I don't have any room to talk.
He's a sports guy, and he does a fantastic job. When it comes to picks, though, you're not exactly that.
Posting articles and doing radio coverage, excellent. Pick six and picking teams,
well, and
not so much.
Part of it is because he picks with his heart sometimes. I mean, he's a Vikings fan, and they break our hearts, and you're a Gophers fan.
If you don't
you
beat
struggle.
The Giants, you pack up shop for the year, all right, fellas?
The Giants.
Oh, first game, and
Giants
we're packing.
Giants are not looking good in the preseason, so.
Giants look real bad.
I would say
bad.
More along the lines of, like a 20-17 or 17-13 Vikings win, but I'm picking the Vikings.
I just don't trust the Giants to really put up points.
I never trust the Vikings, and I think I'm a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
The Vikings need to put up a few points. I don't know what else to say.
Right.
They need. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but
sure, I get you.
That's what I went with.
I don't have caffeine
in my system yet. I might regret it later, but 27-17 Vikings.
There you go. And you guys can get involved in it, too. Go to WDAYRadioNow.com or go on our mobile app. Look for the pick six. It's about midway down the page, or you can search for it if you would like to do it that way. Fill out your picks. We're already getting some in this morning. Good job. Good job. Whoever gets the most picks right, make sure you fill in that score for the Vikings game, because sometimes you guys are so good and we'll have like a 3- or 4-way tie and it all breaks down to that final score of the Vikings game. So whoever gets the most picks right, you will win a gift card, as James mentioned, over at the Clubhouse Indoor Golf Lounge in Moorhead. So get those filled out. And you need them in. James, do we need them in by what time do we need these picks in?
11 a.m. Saturday.
Okay.
That's when the Gophers kick off. They got Prime Real Estate. While everybody's starting their tailgates, the Gophers are playing football.
So get your picks in by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. And our pick six is brought to you by Precision Concrete Cutters, Ramjack North, your number one pick for complete foundation repair. Check them out online at pccnd.com. And we want you guys to get involved in this. It's been growing over the years, and it's a fun competition. So, again, go to WDAYRadioNow.com or go on your mobile app. Look about midway down the page. Look for the pick six. Get your picks filled out. It is 8:20. Weekend is here.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and we've got hooked up with some new stuff. A Minnesota-made Castle Cream Ale from Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors, Minnesota. And when you get time to enjoy your time with friends and family this weekend, many of you will be going to ball games. You'll be tailgating. Our friends over at Beverage Wholesalers remind you it's a great time to give thanks and salute those who make it possible. Our military and first responders, of course, out there for us every single day.
Yeah, so this weekend you can enjoy the taste of Castle Danger Maple Marzen from Castle Danger Brewery in Two Harbors, as Bonnie said. It's a great fall beer highlighting local flavor. It blends traditional German malts and hops with local maple syrup. The result is a rich and toasty malt flavor with a strong maple character. This is a traditional lager style with a Northwoods twist, making it a welcome addition to a cool autumn day or any campfire. Their beers are brewed with Lake Superior water by hearty souls who embody the North Shore. Wherever you enjoy Castle Danger beer, you can taste a little bit of the North Shore in every sip. Dangerously good ales brewed in Two Harbors, Minnesota.
The place is so busy. We were on the North Shore about three years ago. It was a two-hour wait to get into there. So
really?
Yes. Castle Danger Brewery is a big deal, but you don't have to wait 2 hours in line.
No.
Go find it at your favorite local retail liquor store. And when you enjoy your weekend, remember when you tip back a beverage, salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and first responders for us. They are out there every single day. This message brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo. It is 8:22, Coffee Club with some special guest hosts, I guess, with Janae, because Ronnie, taking the day off, him and Dino are going to Nebraska to watch that big football game.
Well, hopefully. You know, it's his birthday week, I guess,
I know.
So you give him a break.
So he gets to spend it with Dean. I hope they stay out of trouble. But good luck with that.
I don't know how that's going to work.
We'll find out. We'll do some little chair switching here. Janae is in for the Coffee Club, and we'll be filling in with her, and we'll find out what's coming up on the show today in just a bit here. But first of all, we are heading to the American Ag Network. Weekend. Some of us can smell it sooner than others. The earlier you get to work, the sooner you get to leave, usually.
Oh, whatever.
Although I'm hanging out a little longer. I'd like to have a foot out the door like Waisaki, but I don't because I get to hang out with Janae for a while, and then you get to come on in for the last hour of the Coffee Club.
That's okay. You know, you're going to go golf with Logie Bear.
Yeah.
It's his birthday.
I hope he's not listening.
I hope he is.
He does not want to be called Logie Bear.
Little Logie.
What about the Ranger, Logie?
Happy birthday, little Logie.
He'd be so embarrassed. I usually call him Bud. Hey, Bud.
But Logan is such a sweetheart. 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my baby. I should cry. It's sad when your baby. I mean, and he's spoiled because he's the baby of the family.
Yeah.
Babies have to be spoiled.
I get it.
But yeah, we're going to go to Pebble Lake Golf Course.
Good for you guys.
Do some golfing this afternoon and looking forward to it. I've never played that course before, so.
Did you make a cake for him?
No, but we're going to go out to eat somewhere and get dessert. I didn't even make anything for him, but he's fine. My kids don't like cake. They're weird.
Yeah.
You can always make brownies.
I just made brownies
the other
day.
He ate some of those.
Yeah, some of your brownies, so your birthday brownies.
How dare you?
Normally, I would get like an ice cream cake, and he likes that.
My kids like ice cream cakes now, too,
so,
over cake.
It's just going to be like whatever. I'll get him something.
Yeah.
But we're gonna
ice cream cake, cheesecake.
He already told me he didn't want ice cream
cake
this year. They're spoiled. I make stuff every week. I'm cooking and baking things, so it's not like.
Yeah, he's got a good mama.
You can bring in more leftovers, just saying.
Did you just say she could bring in more leftovers?
Yeah, like because she makes stuff all the time, she could bring in more leftovers.
I bring in plenty that you get.
Maybe more is better.
If you bring it in and I don't tell him to share, he doesn't. He just eats everything.
you and James.
They are the eaters. Those boys are eaters.
I can't imagine. Yesterday.
She brought in those brownies on my birthday, and I really only needed one, but she gave me two. And, of course,
really big ones.
Like halfway through the second one, I'm like, I don't nearly need to finish this. I'm kind of full. But I'm like, I'm going to clean my plate. Ate it before the show, and I was like, oh, that was a little too much.
I thought about you yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I was the YWCA had their chocolate for change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what I told him. He needs to do
that. And I served, and it was a good time. I served with some of the Bison basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good time. Nice to visit with people. But I thought about you and James, because I'm like, they would not be able to control themselves here.
No.
There is so, oh my gosh.
But there was also chili, wasn't there?
There's chili, but there's... Oh
well, they showed.
You should see these desserts.
They showed the clips on TV, and of course, Bonnie's like, "Well, you know, if you help there, you'd be able to get to eat some of that or all of that." And I'm like,
I think Aaron and Jill would have to tell James and Jace to leave.
But I did.
After they've been sitting there eating for 2 hours.
Is it crazy that I'm looking at all these desserts and I think of Jace and James?
These guys would love this place.
These boys like
to eat. But it was cute. And there is a video up on our Facebook page because I was serving with some of the NDSU basketball players. And they'd been here for over 2 years and they had never had chippers.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
So we did a video. I did a video of them having chippers for the very first time.
Chippers
and when
are
I
delicious.
Told them what they were, and this was before the video, they're like, what? They're like, that doesn't even sound good.
I mean, it's
delicious. And they loved them.
And
2 years they've been here, and they've never even heard of chippers.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think probably the first time I heard about it, I'm like, chocolate-covered potato chips? And you're like, I don't know about that. Then you eat it, and a nice crispness to it.
So
and
good.
Nice chocolate. Yeah,
so the video's cute. It's them eating them for the first time.
That was awesome. Yeah, and I saw you had a bunch of pictures. And thank you for donating your time volunteering for the event.
Oh, it was wonderful. Wonderful event. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, for sure.
And raising money for the Y. YWCA. So very cool. All right. So the coffee club, I'm going to hang out with you until 10, if not a little sooner. And then Jace is coming in because I have to get to Fergus for my tea time. What are we doing on the coffee club today?
You know what? Actually, it's a very busy day. So we have Tony Baker coming in. He is the Cass County VSO. And if you don't know what VSO is, it's Veteran Service Officer. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some of the things that they have going on and resources available to our veterans. And then also Nick Olson is going to join us. He is a realtor and broker for Berkshire. Now, there has been some stir up lately with new federal laws when it comes to real estate and contracts have to be. We're going to get the scoop of it. They really want people and buyers to know what's going on. So Nick is going to join us today and we're going to talk about that in the 10 o'clock hour. Actually, Jace, you'll be with me when we talk about that. We will have this and that. And, you know, we always have fun here.
Oh, yeah.
We chit-chat and just have fun.
All right. So you go find something to eat.
Yes,
a lot
I
of
got
things
breakfast.
To eat. Find all the things to eat and then be back in
here.
There's
only like
10.
One thing to eat right now.
So oh, you'll find food.
Oh, my gosh, Jace.
Yeah.
I got Ronnie a coconut cream pie for his birthday and he forgot it. It's in the cooler. Eat it because it will be bad by the time he gets back.
Oh, boom. Maybe share with James, though.
I will share with
coconut yourself. Cream pie in the cooler, and it'll go bad by the time he gets back. So eat it up.
Ronnie's fault for not taking it. All right.
Eat it up.
Goodbye.
You betcha.
Jace will be back on Bonnie and Friends, 5 o'clock Monday morning, and you'll hear him on the Coffee Club with Janae after the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. It is 8:31.